A Miami dancer's career may have gone bust. The young woman has filed a $100 million lawsuit, claiming she lost her job in the Broadway touring company of the musical Movin' Out when her breasts got too big. Alice Elise says she was dismissed from the company when her breasts went from a C to a D cup while she recovered from an injury. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Welcome, 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 welcome. It's Tuesday night. Another day with Dear Leader behind the microphone. So God knows we're going to have some fun. But that, you know, that being the case, let's... Sometimes it's fun to serialize the program a little bit. Let's pick up where we left off last night. What do you say? I think that's a good idea. Let's pick up where we left off last night. If I can dear, if you'll turn that channel on, we'll pick up where we left off last night.
I met an onion grower today at the airport when I arrived, and he said, "You got to help me find people that will pull onions."
Got to help me find people who will pull onions. That's right. That was Cleveland yesterday. And a couple of other things we didn't quite get to the way I wanted to. With quite the depth or whatever that I had hoped to find. There was an individual, and this is just offensive. There was an individual who stood up, an African-American man. You know, and like I said, and we're going to get to what he did today, believe me, trust me, no kidding. Because there's some stuff today, you know, he took a question from Helen Thomas today. The dude is probably still sedated. I mean, you know, he's scared of her. He's terrified of Helen Thomas. Because Helen Thomas asks, you know, tough questions. Oh, and Helen Thomas, of course, was on... I was wandering into the living room earlier, and I caught Helen appearing on Wolf Blitz's program. And, you know, he kept trying to take her back and to the comment she made about him being the worst president ever. He is the worst president ever. My God, he's like, you know, he's like something out of a movie.
Mr. President.
The guy's supposed to smile over there.
Yeah. I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Harumph!
Yeah, harumph. Yeah. But she appears on Wolf Blitzer's program, and, you know, like I said, he takes her back. Well, you're the one that said he's the worst president ever. Is he the worst president ever? And, you know, as... But finally, at the very end of it, he says, "Well, you know, Helen, you certainly do ask some hard questions." And, you know, this is Helen Thomas's her forte. She is able to put the shiv in before you know that your lungs have been punctured. And she's, you know, Wolf says, "Oh, you ask some tough questions." And she just says, "Well, you asked some tough questions, too. I remember when you asked Bill Clinton why he didn't resign." And poor Wolf was just sitting there with his mouth hanging open. just not realizing he'd just been gut shot. It was gorgeous. So, now I want to, like I said, I want to start with what happened yesterday. Because, you know, yesterday he was all folksy and he was having fun and joshing around, speaking Spanish and calling constitutional crises what?
Could you explain why living within the legislation that allowed your administration to get a warrant from a secret court within 72 hours after putting in a wiretap wouldn't be just as effective?
No, I appreciate the question. He's talking about the Terrorist Surveillance Program that was created quite a kerfluffle in the press, and I owe an explanation to you.
That's right. That's right. A high crime and misdemeanor is now a kerfluffle. Spying on the American people is a damn kerfluffle. Got that? Johnny on the spot, White House News Corps. Did you get the message? Did you get the memo? You are now no longer allowed to refer to it as a domestic spying program. It is now the presidential kerfluffle. Kerfluffle? Sounds like one of those terms you get in the porn industry. All right, cut! Bring over the kerfluffle! It does. But now, now violating the Constitution is a kerfluffle. The people that are behind him are good. The framers, the way they frame stuff, is good. It's mastery. I mean, can you imagine the brass that it takes to refer to a constitutional crisis as a kerfluffle? A kerfluffle. Man, I mean, we're talking about conduct that is absolutely contrary to the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution, and he comes up with a childish what euphemism? That's a kerfluffle. No. No, you damned war criminal. It's an impeachable offense. Do you get it? It's not that hard to figure out. Now, is it, George? No, it's not hard to figure out at all. It's not a kerfluffle. It's treason. I don't know. Maybe he's got some Dutch ancestors or something, and kerfluffle is Dutch for start the trial and get me out of this office before I can completely ruin America. I don't know. But it's a kerfluffle. But the worst part of it, the worst part of yesterday, and I'm not living in the past, but we didn't get to this last night, and you darn well deserve to hear it. Last night, I had this sitting here, and I didn't get around to it because I do so enjoy our conversations. Last night, the part I didn't get to. Now we heard the onions bit, and we heard him snort. Of course, you know, it was later pointed out to me that George Bush has been snorting for years, so there should be nothing new in that. But no, what we didn't hear was the planted African American individual. This deserves to be played. This is such shameful race baiting. This is such shameful Uncle Tomery. They went out and found themselves because, you see, when you hear it, the guy betrays himself. And he says, I went to George Voinovich, who put me in touch with Trent Lott, who put me in touch with Haley Barbour. Now, who's one of George Bush's best friends? Haley Barbour. Oh, this is all triangulated. This is all network sunshine, and it is just sickening. This is the kind of bowing and scraping that I thought we were done with by virtue of the civil rights fights of the 50s and 60s. But no, African Americans are still handy to the Republican Party, this one especially.
First of all, I want to commend you on your presentation today.
Now,
and I tell you, I'm 100% behind your fight against terrorism. Also,
why don't you just leave it at that?
No.
Sit down, boy.
Live coverage on C-SPAN Radio.
Yeah, that's no. Don't look at me like that, Agnes.
I tell you,
that's the way these people think.
I'm qualified to say that. You probably heard of Ernie Shavers, a boxer. I trained Ernie Shavers. He fought Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali said he hit him so hard he woke up his ancestors in Africa. So I know a little bit about boxing and fainting.
Yeah.
But I know in boxing, and I taught over 3,300 children over 13 years. Two of them fought for world championships, including Ernie Shavers. I taught them that the best defense is a good offense. That's what you're doing over there now, and I commend you. My mom and daddy moved from Alabama to Ohio in the mid-40s. They were the parents of five sons. We all served in the military. I served 8 years, and we all served honorably. So I am a Marine. I've also been a Boy Scout and a firefighter. To lead in, the young person spoke about domestic policy. This Wednesday coming, I'll be making my sixth trip to the New Orleans, Mississippi area as a contractor. I'm president of the Ohio Minority Contractor Association. I want to publicly thank Senator Voinovich right now for directing me to Senator Trent Lott, who directed me to Haley Barbour, the governor down there, who opened up opportunities. We got people doing debris removal, putting on roofs, and I've got a $600,000 proposal to feed 22,000 workers down there who have been underfed. You've been down there. I have, too. You know, people are working 14 and 16 hours a day. And I've never been so proud to be an American to see the outpouring of people out there helping one another, particularly the faith-based community. So I thank you, appreciate you, and look forward to putting this proposal in your hands. Thank you.
Oh, wait.
Don't worry about it.
Lord.
Let's see, I got an invitation and a proposal. Yes, sir.
Yeah, wasn't that hilarious, George? This guy stood up and poured his heart out to George Bush as if he was speaking to another human being, as if he was speaking to someone who had an ounce of compassion in his soul or the ability to recognize any level of human dignity. This guy, so I am a Marine and I did serve honorably. On the one hand, you think, you want to honor the guy's service. On the other, you think, how could you possibly allow yourself to be so shamefully used by the Republican Party? Because all that was the Republicans trying to have somebody on camera, somebody on mic, so that they could say, see, all the African Americans don't hate us. There's one who likes us, okay? That's all it is. It's as simple as that. But the business, why don't you just stop now? Yeah. Or I think he's been hanging out with Dick Cheney too long. Did you hear the sort of Burgess Meredith penguin laugh? It's just evil and it's nasty and it's condescending. I hate hearing these fake nouveau riche Bushes who have never earned an honest day's dollar in their lives, collectively, every last one of them. Whether it's George Bush getting bailed out by the Bin Laden family because he's the only man who can drill well holes in West Texas and not hit oil, or Jeb Bush getting bailed out by his Cuban expatriate buddies in bunco real estate deals in Florida, or Neil Bush, who, after robbing people blind at Silverado Savings and Loan, cruises on over to where? That's right, the dictatorship of the United Arab Emirates, and goes with his hand held out to his daddy's Arab buddies to scrounge up a few million dollars for his educational system. These people have never earned an honest day's, never done an honest day's work, never earned an honest dollar in their entire lives. And we're talking about going back over several generations. They have made their fortune preying upon the taxpayers of the United States of America. And to hear him condescend, well, Lord, I got me a proposal. Sit down, black man. It's disgusting. It is just disgusting. So that's where yesterday left us. Token black men in the audience, imaginary onion farmers at the airport, Jose Feliciano speaking Spanish and George Bush snorting. That was yesterday. Oh, but he was tanned and rested and ready today, and he tried to come out with his fangs a-dripping. And there was that woman that Anthrax Coulter calls that hateful old Arab, Helen Thomas. God, she's what, 112? And she was laying in wait, and she pounced on him. So we've got that coming for you when we come back from the break. The phone numbers, of course, you know, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. And we are, of course, chatting away at headonradionetwork.com, the chat room there. Jump on in. The conversation's fine. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
Apparently, on the right-hand side, on the right wing, the leadership in the Republican Party is not so cozy with the pro-life movement. They say pro-life. That's bull. If they were pro-life, they wouldn't send people to die in battle. If they were pro-life, you know, they would put money into a temporary aid for needy families, TANF, which is an entitlement. If they were pro-life, they would help with creating better pensions for us to live our remaining years in relative peace and serenity rather than having to work until you're 85 years old in order to make a living. If they were pro-life, if they were really, really pro-life, then we wouldn't be in the middle of a war.
Bottom line. Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. And oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
I found a reason, I don't need an excuse. I've got this time on my hands. You are the one to abuse. Yes,
Dad? Let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Because liberals built America. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Here's to all the pretty women made for cash. And here's to dashing daddy's son, he's such a flash.
Welcome back. Coming up on 26 minutes after the hour, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Great to have you along. We're having a blast over in the new chat room. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and just click on chat room there. It's free. Register up. Get in on the conversation. And another reminder, please feel free to drop by Head On Radio, minus the word network, HeadOnRadio.com. We're getting a lot of... A lot of folks wandering by, posting in the message boards there, just to put your thoughts. You know, it was a blog before blogging was invented, you know. So, you know, feel free to go by there. And a howdy to our friends hanging out in the Tom Hartman chat room as well. Let's go to the phones. An old friend is back with us we haven't heard from in a long, long time. Jim, how you doing?
I've been better. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm okay.
Good. You know, are we going toward the bottom of the hour?
Don't worry about it. We throw the clock out sometimes.
Okay, great. You know, I was listening to, some people on, Lou Dobbs tonight. Randy Rose was one of them.
Oh, was Randy on there?
Right. And several other people. I don't remember their names, but, you know, basically from what they're saying and what they have said, I could not agree with what Gore Vidal once wrote. There's just one party in this country. And that's the property party. One of it's Democrat, and the other is Republican.
Yeah,
I'm afraid that's exactly where we're. You know,
that well, if it's
where
not,
we're headed,
it may be where we already are. I mean, there are people, Jim, that say that's where we already are.
Well, you know, these people are trying. By these people, I mean the current administration, which is so pro-business, or to the point that, my God, it's just incredible. They are trying to destroy the middle class of this country.
It's a war. It's what Warren Buffett once said. He said, yeah, there's a class war in this country, and my class is winning.
Well, all I can say is that when they do that, they're going to bring down a lot of ruin on their own heads, that's for sure. And, you know, as far as Mr. Bush is concerned, I can tell you what's on the back of his mind right now, and Cheney's too, and all those people in positions of leadership. And they now are going to hit Iran. And they already have a plan to hit it with airstrikes from Afghanistan and Iraq. And when they do, the only thing I can say, my friend, is there goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, and the neighborhood's round.
And they're not talking about 10 years. They're not talking about 10 months. I'm thinking we're talking about weeks.
Yeah. Well,
they have a plan already in which all they have to do is insert the name and time and send the message.
Well, you're absolutely right. I don't doubt that in the least. And I think there's design in this so-called logjam or stalemate that's in place at the UN right now. The French and the British have a statement of the case in front of the Security Council, and the Russians and the Chinese are wrangling over the language. This gives the dear leader a chance to come out and say that, what's it going to be, Jim? The UN has become irrelevant. They can't take a stand on Iran, so we're going to have to.
Well, look at who was sent to represent us at the UN.
Oh, I know, that old dude with the porn mustache.
Just a horrible, horrible, ugly man who basically does not have the best interests of that organization or any organization except that which serves his own interests at heart. And another thing tonight, I don't know if you heard what Kim Jong-il said.
Mm-mm.
About North Korea. They said, look, we reserve the right. The United States is not the only country in the world who can pursue the doctrine of preemption. He said, we can do it too. And we can reach Alaska and Hawaii. And how do you think this little deal that Bush pulled with India is going to affect the relationship with North Korea and other nations that want to have nuclear power and have nuclear weapons and things, except these people have already presented us as a fait accompli?
Yeah, they have. And, you know, there's a reason that, you know, despite the whole mango speech, Jim, there was a reason he went to India. And that was because after a long, long freeze, things were thawing out between the Indian government and the Chinese. And we can't tolerate that.
Oh, no. No, no. No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, the thing about it is I don't know what is going to happen with this war in Iraq. because you've got the vice president and Bush. They are in a complete bubble about the whole thing. They say there is no civil war. If you ask the correspondents who are in Baghdad and other cities surrounding that city in Iraq, that they say there is a civil war.
Well, and beyond,
and I tend to believe them because they're there on the ground seeing it happen.
Well, and consider that beyond even that, how about Ayatollahi? He was he's been on the BBC. He was on ABC's show on Sunday, and he said, "If this is not a civil war, I don't know what you call it." Now this is Ayatollahi, Jim, and you know he used to be our dude in Baghdad.
That's right.
He was a CIA asset.
Exactly.
And he was asked to put, maybe it was Wolf Blitzer asked him to put the finger on whose fault Iraq is, and of course he still knows where the money's coming from. So he said, if you ask me, I blame Jerry Bremer, L. Paul Bremer.
And I wonder what happened to that $8 or $9 billion.
Well, that was the stuff they played football with. It was wrapped up in shrink wrap.
Maybe they were using that for their own body armor. But I can tell you one thing. If the rich classes of this country and the business-oriented classes of this country keep pursuing this doctrine of trying to destroy the middle class, I don't care how much money they can pad their pockets with. It's not going to stop a bullet that's going to come from the revolution that will throw them over.
I think you're right. I don't know if it comes. I don't know when it happens. I know there's a real possibility of it, and I know who's going to suffer the most if that does occur. Jim, we need not kid ourselves.
Mr. Kincaid, I'm going to tell you something. I remember as a boy, I used to talk with this old lady who was a lady in waiting to the Tsarina of Russia. Okay,
mm-hmm.
She was her name was Utomsky, and she told me about that revolution, and she herself admitted. And I remember I was 10 or 11. And she always wore the same black dress with this gold lorgnette or pince-nez on her nose.
Mm-hmm.
And she would say, our own arrogance destroyed us. And she said, look where we are now. We once used to be grand dukes and princes and this, that, and the other. And now I have relatives who are dorming in hotels in Paris. And she got to this country by marrying a Baltic baron named von Keller. So ask any of those Russian emigres about what will happen to a country in which excesses are not checked and foolishness is allowed to participate in the making of national policy and stupidity.
Yeah, that's a point well made. And you mentioned Lou Dobbs earlier. I had an email exchange with another friend of the program earlier today pointing me to a clip at crooksandliars.com. It's a clip of Lou Dobbs talking with the noted Republican author Kevin Phillips.
Right.
And he's not exactly a hair on fire liberal Molotov cocktail tosser. He's part of the staid Republican, the Eisenhower wing of the Republican Party, if you will. And he's got the new book, I think, is called American Theocracy. Have you seen anything about it?
No, I haven't. Tell you the truth.
He's come right out and said that, the title of the book says it all, that the Bush administration is in the grips of the religious right. And he went on to talk about the destruction that is taking place in the middle class. And the thing is, I watched it, and it's, do you ever get the sense of, I don't know, what do you call a prophet who only predicts things that have already happened?
Well, I don't know.
And because
I guess they aren't worth very much now, are they?
No, they're not. But the thing is, I was Lou Dobbs just was getting this look on his face like he was viewing the bodies laying on the ground at Birkenau. I mean, because the horror is dawning on him. And in the exchange that I had with our friend, I said, I could almost feel sorry for Lou Dobbs. But that sucker knew what he was doing when he was repeating all the Bush filth in 2000. And he talked about Al Gore and Love Story and invented the internets and repeated all of that filth. They knew what they were doing when they put Bush in office, Jim.
Well, I'll tell you, now they've got what they've done is create a Frankenstein monster. And that's exactly the only thing I can compare him to, because he is just, he doesn't have to run again. And he feels like he's got carte blanche just to do just about anything he wants to do, and he doesn't give a rodent's derriere who it hurts, just as long as he can, in his own warped way, achieve his own desires. and what they are and what motivates him to think the way he does, I don't know, because as far as I'm concerned, I think he's beyond the realm of sanity.
Well, I think he's long gone. I mean, yesterday, the performance yesterday in Cleveland, and then today, you know, he comes out and he's a tough guy, and he's gonna prove to America how tough he is by being mean to Helen Thomas?
Well, he even said today that he couldn't comment on a certain point because he hadn't been briefed ahead of time or they hadn't told him what to say. Those words came out of his own mouth.
Well, we're in trouble.
I do believe we are, but like I say, you know, I don't mean to sound like Jeremiah or whatever, but I do believe certain chickens are coming home to roost, and that's, of course, you know, in addition to the avian flu, which is going to be here before we know it, talk about chickens, that's going to be a real barn burner.
Yeah, yeah,
but
you're,
I mean,
I
you, know,
right.
You know, Mr. Kincaid, I'll tell you, we have so many problems in this country, and people are straining at gnats to swallow camels, and yet we've got people who are unemployed, we've got people who are sick, people who can't get insurance, people who can't get medicine, and we have major pandemics that are on the way in this country, no matter what the new secretary of whoever she is says.
Yeah.
This avian flu is going to be here within 9 months, and, you know, they say, oh, no, don't worry about it. Well, I mean, you know, that's what they said when the Titanic first hit that iceberg. Oh, we just dropped the propeller. Oh, no problem. But it's the same type of Titanic mentality that's driving this country.
Well, it's eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. It's apocalyptic thinking.
It's
diagnosable stuff under the DSM-4, Jim.
Well, sir, all I can say is this. I can see why people are really sort of turning to religion as some type of means to give them some type of assurance, because they aren't going to find much assurance and peace on this earth, not while we have people like George Bush in the White House and some of the other people stomping around. We really don't.
No, I think you're right.
I thank you for your time.
Oh, it's been a real pleasure hearing from you.
Thank you, sir.
You take care now.
All of you, and I hope everybody's well in your family.
Thank you. Thank you. You take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Jim reminded me of something, a story that I had last night and didn't get to because we were engaged in other conversations. The kind of stuff that makes you run out into the backyard, put your head in that bucket of lye, pluck your eyeballs out and run screaming off a cliff, the kind of stuff. The report out yesterday, we are sending troops, we're rotating troops back to Iraq. And, you know, if you want to figure out why it is that 6-month-old babies wind up with their hands tied behind their handcuffed behind their backs, shot through the head, 6-month-old babies, yeah, by American troops. If you want to find out why that is, ask questions like, why in the hell are we rotating troops back into that theater who have come home and been diagnosed as being profoundly, profoundly post-traumatic stress disordered? And profoundly depressed. In general, wrecked. And what's going on? We're rotating them back into Iraq. We're giving them a handful of Prozac and saying, go to it. Get with it. I'm not making it up. We are sending, because the Bush administration understands that they can no longer do the decent thing, what was once done. You can't say, well, you know, this dude's a wreck. He's disabled. Put him on the rolls and let's make sure that we do right by him for the rest of his life. Can't do that anymore. We're broke. We're broke. The wallet's empty. It is March 2006. A little more than 5 years ago, we had a surplus. A little more than 5 years ago, and we, oh baby, we were flush. And we're not just broke. It's not just that we can't afford to tell a soldier that he's disabled when he is. That we have to instead prop up the pharmaceutical industry again, hand him a handful of Prozac and tell him to go back and do what he's told. No, we're not, I mean, it's not like the wallet's empty. No, it used to be the national wallet was brimming over with cash until this insane little man, do you remember before the election? We got to have tax cuts because the economy's too hot. We got to slow down the economy with some tax cuts, or it'll just run too hot, and we'll warp the heads. And then in a couple of months' time, it was, we got to have a tax cut because the economy's too cold. We got to warm the economy up. And by God, we had tax cuts, didn't we, sunshine? Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, we had us some tax cuts. We had tax cuts until, you know, that wallet image that I was using. That wallet that was brimming with money. Enough to make Social Security rock solid, baby, until the next century. That wallet that was brimming over, well, first it got emptied. But now if you open it, it's full of IOUs written on cocktail napkins that are soaked up with bad gin and skank tequila. That's where we are. We've been on a bender. And we're not even going to be able to afford the bottle of Four Roses with the screw top to get, you know, to drink while we're hanging out under the bridge that's collapsing. That is where we the hell are. Does that scare you? Does that terrify you? Does that, you got kids? I mean, this is this is the front end of Mad Max stuff. Do you understand? Of course you do. Why do I say that? Of course you understand. You're listening to this program. You get it. You're not off in the fantasy land. Watching whatever's on TV or just trying to get away for a little bit. Just trying to get off the treadmill for a few minutes. Just trying to de-hamster yourself for a little bit. You could be like so much of America and ignore this conversation. You could refuse to participate. You could get all ostrichy and stick your head in the sand, but you're not going to do it. Because you, unlike so many others, you actually love this country. A lot of you have worn its uniform and fought for this country and served this country, and you are horrified by what a bunch of... I mean, we're talking about, what did I say, street punks, street thugs, common thieves, burglars are doing to your and my once great nation. That is where we are. That was where we were this morning when dear leader came out of his little woodchuck groundhog place with wherever he keeps the footy pajamas. And he came out, and oh, Lord God, he was so proud of himself because he was going to... You know, what does this say about a guy's manhood? When you define yourself by being able to stand up to Helen Thomas... Now listen to this exchange, will you? This is big, bad, mean old Helen Thomas wearing out the supposed most powerful man on planet Earth.
To invade Iraq has caused the deaths of thousands of Americans and Iraqis. Wounds of Americans and Iraqis for a lifetime. Every reason given, publicly at least, has turned out not to be true. My question is, why did you really want to go to war? Mm-hmm. From the moment you stepped into the White House, yeah. From your cabinet, former cabinet officers, intelligent people, and so forth. Mm-hmm. What was your real reason? You have said it wasn't oil, quest for oil. It hasn't been Israel or anything else. What was it?
Yeah, I think your premise, and all due respect to your question and to you as a lifelong journalist, is that, you know, I didn't want war.
Liar.
To assume I wanted war is just flat wrong, Helen.
No, it's realism,
and all due respect. No, hold on for a second, please. Excuse me.
No, won't even.
No president
years
wants
old.
War.
He can't even give her the respect. She
Everything
deserves.
You may have heard is that, but it's just simply not true. My attitude about the defense of this country changed on September the 11th.
There it was.
When we got attacked, I vowed then and there to use every asset at my disposal to protect the American people. Our foreign policy changed on that day, Helen. You know, we used to think we were secure.
Here it comes.
Because
oceans.
Of oceans and previous diplomacy. But we realized on September 11, 2001, that killers could destroy innocent life.
Huh?
And I'm never going to forget it. And I'm never going to forget the vow I made to the American people that we would...
Oh, wait just a damn minute. This jerk only realized on September the 11th that killers could take innocent life? He obviously missed out on a few conversations with his daddy. Maybe daddy could have explained a little bit to him about John Negroponte and about El Salvador and Guatemala and Honduras. Huh? Yes, killers can take innocent lives. Just like John Negroponte, managed and brain-trusted the death squads that murdered and raped nuns and slaughtered priests who had the stones to stand up and say, "You can't just crap on the poor!" On September the 11th, 2001, I found out that killers could take human life. Damn! How stupid does he think we are? Huh?
Do everything in our power to protect our people. Part of that meant to make sure that we didn't allow people to provide safe haven to an enemy, and that's why I went into Iraq.
Whoa, stop it. We wanted to protect the country and make sure that no one could provide a safe haven to the enemy, and that's why I went into Iraq. Are we still in a place where there is some portion of the American people who are going to buy that hogwash? Because, Sunshine, that is hogwash. There was not a single solitary connection between the secular regime in Iraq and the wild-eyed, weird-ass, fundamentalist religious fanatics in Afghanistan. Not one. And this guy is still peddling that filthy old snake oil? Jesus criminy!
Hold on for a second. Excuse me for a second, please. Excuse me for a second. They did. The Taliban provided safe haven for Al-Qaeda. That's...
No, but he was talking about Iraq! The Taliban weren't in Iraq! I'm sorry, this stuff just makes my eyeballs get loose in their sockets. The dude just cruised straight from the Taliban were providing support to the enemy in Iraq.
It's where Al-Qaeda trained and... Helen, excuse me. Afghanistan provided safe haven for Al-Qaeda. That's where they trained. That's where they plotted.
Lest we forget. She asked him why he attacked Iraq! Holy God! I mean, it's not just me, is it? I mean, this is real live, honest to God, Lewis Carroll, Alice through the looking glass, down the rabbit hole, oh Jesus, I'm late, look at my watch, white rabbit, Mad Hatter's Tea Party stuff!
That's where they planned the attacks that killed thousands of innocent Americans. I also saw a threat in Iraq. I was hoping to solve this problem diplomatically. That's
liar.
That's why I went to the Security Council. That's why it was important to pass 1441, which was unanimously passed. And the world said, disarm, disclose, or face serious consequences.
And he did, damn it. He did.
And therefore... We worked with the world. We worked to make sure that Saddam Hussein heard the message of the world. And when he...
What, was Bob Geldof singing somewhere? We are the world. We'll bomb your children. Jiminy Christmas.
He chose to deny inspectors. When he chose not to disclose, then I had the difficult decision to make to remove him. And we did. And the world is safer for it.
See, that's the shame. Helen Thomas started asking the questions that somebody should have been asking this bloody-handed punk for the last 5 years. What was it? A full year before he started his war, March, April, May sometime, when it was reported, a reporter was in the Situation Room or wherever the hell they play checkers and eat cheese sandwiches, whatever, and someone said, Mr. President, what about Saddam? And he said, F Saddam, we're taking him out. A year before the first shot was fired. I made the difficult decision to go to war. You know, There's some places you expect to get lied to. You go to the car lot, you're gonna get lied to. You know, any kind of retail, high-end kind of thing, and they're gonna make it prettier, faster, fancier, slicker, nicer than what it is. I don't want that out of the White House. I wasn't looking to buy me a brand spanking new Holocaust, okay? I actually had some plans for that surplus. I was thinking maybe that with the surplus we had, if we shored up Social Security, there might actually be hope of me being able to get to 62 years old and draw a damn check. I'm going to be working till I'm 90! And every baby that has been born since George Bush became president has a $40,000 bill hanging around their neck just for being an American in Bush world. And only 5 years and 3 months ago, that baby was born free and clear. You know. Let's go to the phones. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Good evening.
How are you?
Good job.
Thank you.
But I wonder who the world was. You know, his question, the world backed us, you know. What did we have, 3 or 4 countries that was backing us?
Well, I remember Morocco offered to send monkeys.
Yeah, and the only reason we got their backing because we was feeding them their meals, their daily bread.
Or oil.
Yeah. But... he is typical Republican crap, just like Rush Limbaugh and the morning show host. He overrode everything every time she tried to say something and set the record straight. He interfered with her and wouldn't let her talk. That's typical, you know. But, you know, the thing that I get out of him every time is I think he's so stupid he even believes what he says.
Oh, I have no doubt that he believes it.
That's typical politics nowadays. I meant to tell you, that guy that I listened to that was supposed to replace Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
I think his name is Mark Davis. No, that's the guy that I talked to that
okay.
I mentioned to you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
over here in Beckley, they're ditching Rush Limbaugh for Neil Bortz.
Yeah, I got the names mixed up there, but that Mark Davis, you talking about a typical Republican, and I told him at the end, I asked him if he'd listen to the polls, was the whole United States wrong yet? But that isn't what I called you for. I got a thing here on. You know, we had that on this where this child was molested and killed.
Yeah, several years ago.
Fredericks is the way I think you pronounce his name, Jeremy Bell.
Right.
But anyway, this guy, they've appointed him judge, the one that wouldn't take that thing to court and get it prosecuted and worked out. The governor, between Shirley Love and the governor, well, they all went skeet shooting together, and next thing, this guy, Paul Blake, is appointed judge. But we've got a guy that's running against him by the name of James Keenan.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to report on that we can get rid of this scum sucker that believes, you know, if he's a friend of yours, you can get away with exactly what that Fredericks did on Jeremy Bell. And so we've got a chance to get rid of his hind end come election time, and he's never been any good. I've known him, you know, since I was political action chairman for the UAW.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him way back then, and he's just not—he's not anything. But at least we got a guy that can run against him, that can do the community good. And he is—I've never heard a thing against him. He's always been a real good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But how's everything else going, Bob?
You know, we're setting him up and knocking him down. I sat and watched this press conference today, and just wanted to. You know, tear up a piece of furniture, put my foot through a TV, you know, just the kind of stuff that happens there. It's gotten to where I just can't hardly watch the man without just coming unglued.
I tell you, I won't say how I feel about him on the radio, but I wouldn't urinate in his mouth if his guts was on fire.
Fair enough. And well said.
That was most I could say, but it reflected so much of what he is and what the Republicans are, of overriding you, browbeating you down, trying not to let you talk, and especially a woman. You know, someone that couldn't get up and knock him in the head or throw a chair at him. Some woman that's been in that as long as he is old.
Yeah.
And probably knows three times as much. And for him to do her like that and try to railroad her. But she was on Walt Switzer's program too.
Yeah,
and she got the last licks in pretty good.
Yeah, I caught that this afternoon. She kind of made she made Wolf a little sheepish, didn't she?
Yeah, I think that may be the name for it. But anyway, I just wanted to call in and let you know that somebody else watched that, and how what a cheap, no good slime ball we got for a president. And who these other countries is that support us. I really wish they'd call in if they can get a good meal under their belt first, so they can make it a whole day without George Bush supplying them their breakfast. So, anyway.
I appreciate it, Ed.
Talk to you later.
All right, you take care now.
All right, good night.
Bye-bye. All right, tell you what, it's time for the news. So we'll be back after that. And more of your phone calls, if you feel so inclined. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366, and we're chatting madly away at headonradionetwork.com. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Kincaid.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Head on Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. George Bush sounded angry today, appearing for the first time in ages and fielding questions from real reporters. Bush attempted to defend his decision to attack the people of Iraq. Asked by Helen Thomas what his real motive was for the slaughter he started, Bush fell back on his old standby.
We realized on September 11, 2001, that killers could destroy innocent life. And I'm never going to forget it. And I'm never going to forget the vow I made to the American people that we will do everything in our power to protect our people. Part of that meant to make sure that we didn't allow people to provide safe haven to an enemy. And that's why I went into Iraq.
Bush even went so far as to try to claim yet again that Saddam had some affiliation with the Taliban. Also, during his news conference, Bush claimed that Iraq is not in a state of civil war and said he expects that American troops will still be in Iraq after his presidency mercifully ends. Meanwhile, in Iraq today, an armed group of as many as 100 Iraqis stormed a jail using machine guns and rocket-propelled grenades and freed at least 24 prisoners. At least 25 people were killed in the attack, and 20 police vehicles were destroyed. Meanwhile, another American soldier was killed in Baghdad today. The military didn't release his name, only stating that he was killed by small arms fire. Torture is one of the symptoms of Bush's war against Iraq. Sergeant Michael Smith was convicted today of using vicious dogs to torture Iraqi prisoners at Abu Ghraib. Even more unsettling, Smith was charged with torturing the human beings for his own amusement. Smith's partner in his torture-for-fun scheme goes on trial in May. The United States Supreme Court says that police can get warrants for crimes that haven't even happened yet. The court held Tuesday that police may obtain a warrant even if the crime is only anticipated. The ruling came in a child pornography case. Jeffrey Grubbs purchased a kiddie porn video by mail from a U.S. postal inspector. Police got a warrant for Grubbs even before the tape was delivered. Writing for a unanimous court, Tony Scalia said the Constitution permits what he called anticipatory searches. This is News on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Pro-democracy activists are trying to save the vote in California. A coalition of citizens filed suit against California's chief elections official Tuesday. They hope to stop the certification of voting machines made by Diebold. The citizens contend the Diebold machines fail to meet federal and state standards and are prone to failure. The British government opened the trial Tuesday of 7 people charged with plotting to carry out bombings in the UK. The defendants wanted to retaliate against Great Britain for taking part in George Bush's war against Iraq. The 7 individuals are denying the charges. Fear is making its way to the dinner table. Fewer Americans are eating raw fish, oysters, undercooked beef, and soft-boiled eggs. That's according to a study released Tuesday by the Centers for Disease Control. The CDC study found that African Americans eat the least of those foods deemed to be risky, while Asians and Pacific Islanders eat the most. Under intense pressure from the religious right in the U.S., the White House called on the Afghan government Tuesday to spare the life of a man charged with converting to Christianity. In the U.S.-sponsored Afghan government, Islamic Sharia law controls. That law demands that Muslims who convert to Christianity be put to death. 41-year-old Abdul Rahman faces the death penalty if he refuses to renounce Christ. Afghan Foreign Minister Abdullah Abdullah says the Afghan government has nothing to do with the case. The UN is at a stalemate over Iran. Russia and China want to change language in the Franco-British statement about Iran's nuclear power program. The stalemate comes in the midst of another round of fear-mongering ginned up
by the Bush administration. A Miami dancer's career may have gone bust. The young woman has filed a $100 million lawsuit claiming she lost her job in the Broadway touring company of the musical Movin' Out when her breasts got too big. Alice Elise says she was dismissed from the company when her breasts went from a C to a D cup while she recovered from an injury. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
All righty then. 6 minutes after the hour, through the miracle of live internet radio, it's, God, probably, what, 6:40, almost 7 minutes after the hour by the time you're hearing this? I just know it's magic. We push the buttons and say the right phrases and everything goes. It's just magic. Agnes, please, control yourself. Let's see, the phone number, 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Like I said, we're chatting wildly away at headonradionetwork.com. And we're blogging, as it were, at headonradio.com, posting to the message boards. And avail yourself of them. It's free, and it's fun. We leave the room open just as others had done for us. We will be, there's a song that is frequently played on our sister show, Fourth Estate Radio. It says, "We're all in this together." I love that song. We are all in this together. The Republicans, what I said about Lou Dobbs, to sit there and watch him just in the conversation, and you can go see it at crooksandliars.com, the conversation with Kevin Phillips, and just this this aghast look of shock and horror at what the religious right is doing to America. Poor old Lou, he didn't realize he was screwing his country by helping Bush get into office. Yes, he did. Of course he did. But Lou's a Republican, and he doesn't care if he screws his country. All this business about, the attack on the middle class coming from Lou Dobbs is just saving his bacon. That's all there is to it. He's trying to make sure that there's still some sort of a job there for him after the collapse. Trying to make sure that, somebody will keep signing his check if everything goes to caca. I'm told that Randy Rhodes is up against Bay Buchanan on another CNN program. Don't go away. They'll rerun it. I'm kidding. Now, there was something that was mentioned in the top of the hour news, and I've got the story here. And it's this guy who, and it was a unanimous decision by the United States Supreme Court. So, where are my little right-wing lurkers now that, unanimous decision. All 9 members of the United States Supreme Court announced a decision today that says it's okay for the cops to get a warrant for you if they expect you to commit a crime in the future. Whoa. Yeah, really. Yeah, take a deep breath on that one. I don't much care for Tom Cruise, but I watched Minority Report because it was based on a novel by Philip K. Dick, one of my favorite science fiction authors. And in that movie, there was some woman, a couple of other people, and they all laid there in a swimming pool or something and dreamed of crimes that were yet to come, and they were able to tap into the dreams and go and arrest people before murders and things like that. This is that. Fat Tony Scalia wrote the opinion for all nine members of the Supreme Court. You know, those liberals, the liberal justices. And they said the cops can go and get a warrant for you if they think you're gonna commit a crime. You rabbit. Okay, I really don't want to make that analogy, but there have been other governments that did that kind of crap. And we generally don't look well upon their history. Yeah, just let that rattle around in your noggin for a little bit. You can go and get a warrant for somebody, the cops can, if they think at some point in the future they're gonna commit a crime. And see, the way do you see how this works? As somebody who understands some of this stuff, I'm sure that if some right-winger was to take notice of what I've just said, he's, well, see that Bob Kincaid, he supports the kiddie diddlers. Because this was a kiddie porn case. That's how they, hard cases make bad law. That's one of those stupid little sayings that you learn in the first year of law school. But it's true. And I think this is also very deliberate because Fat Tony Scalia, you know, he couldn't just come out and say, you know, it's okay if the cops think you. Because this doesn't just extend to kiddie porn. This is an across-the-board ruling, and it's all nine members of the Supreme Court saying it's okay. Get down with it. Understand it. This should wake you up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night. The cops can get a warrant for your ass if they think they can anticipate you're going to commit a crime. Anticipate. Imagine. If they think in the future you're gonna. Are you on board with this? And see, this is the thing that drives me so crazy. There's nothing in the Constitution that says you can charge a person with an anticipated crime. Damn! But Fat Tony Scalia's reasoning, he writes in the opinion that there's nothing in the Fourth Amendment that says you can't. You see, the Bill of Rights lay out what government can get away with. God almighty. And then they turn around and say, well, there's the president can spy on America because of his inherent powers. Well, there's nothing in the Constitution that says he can. But Fat Tony Scalia says, ah, hell, there's nothing in there that says he can't neither. So that means he can. So the question is, are you going to interpret the Constitution in favor of the people of the United States or in favor of the government of the United States? I think, you know, according to what, the Tenth Amendment? Any rights not specifically granted in everywhere else in the Constitution are specifically reserved? Isn't that about what it says? And Fat Tony Scalia says, if you anticipate that you're going to commit a crime, go whack him. And all nine, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that liberal David Souter, that liberal Stephen Breyer, that liberal, the ones that the religion industry fiends and freaks are constantly losing their tiny little minds over, they were right there saying, yep, you can anticipate a crime, that's right, if you expect it. I mean, you've got a pretty good idea, you know, you don't have to have the crystal ball. You've got a pretty good idea of where we're headed when the cops can go get a warrant for you before you have even done anything wrong. But see, it's hard to defend because this guy was, you know, his crime was watching children have sex, which is pretty ill. But you know what? I can defend. I don't give a damn about the guy. I don't care if he rots under the jail. But I tell you what, when the cops can start getting warrants for you just because of what they think you're going to do, you're not safe, I'm not safe. You know, the rights of the people to be secure in their persons, papers, and effects. Not at all. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break, then we'll come back to your phone calls at 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On.
Head On.
Lottie in the chat room has fixed himself some stuffed pork chops with apple raisin walnut chuck.
You, me, Grace, Rama.
Mango chutney.
Hey, speaking of that,
it's all you need.
Mustard seed?
Mustard seed, yeah. That article.
It's not the same as mustard gas.
Well, it's pretty close. Mustard gas.
Join
mustard
Grace
gas.
And Rama, Homebodies, Sunday evenings, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network. It's food for thought.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to. Apparently, on the right-hand side, on the right wing, the leadership in the Republican Party is not so cozy with the pro-life movement. They say pro-life. That's bull. If they were pro-life, they wouldn't send people to die in battle. If they were pro-life, you know, they would put money into a temporary aid for needy families, TANF, which is an entitlement. If they were pro-life, they would help with creating better pensions for us to live our remaining years in relative peace and serenity rather than having to work until you're 85 years old in order to make a living. If they were pro-life, if they were really, really pro-life, then we wouldn't be in the middle of a war. Bottom line. Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
A liberal light in the conservative darkness. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. I'm Bob. There we go. I'm Bob. We're back. And sometimes it gets confusing for a tiny little mind like mine. Coming up on 19 minutes after the hour, straight to the phones. Rick has been waiting. He's in Panama City, Florida. Hey, Rick, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good. You?
Well, I'm hanging in there. Look, the reason why I called was I saw that speech with Bush.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the next thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
you're not no reaction at all.
No, I'm waiting. I mean, I'm.
Oh yeah. Well, I can't comment on it because,
Well, yes, you can.
Well, how?
Unless it just drives you to the point where it's nothing but a string of little bats flying out of your mouth and nothing but dirty words, which, you know, I mean, I could understand that happening watching George Bush give a speech.
Yeah, there's that, and then there's like. There's nothing new, and there's nothing to comment on because he just came up and read a teleprompter, and a lot of people don't realize the last two press conferences he held were scripted.
No,
was supposedly ad lib, where the old Arab quote unquote Coulter, that one right there was partially scripted, and then he lost control. A lot of people missed it.
Well, you know, there was it was obvious from the fact that on one question he said, well, you know, I haven't been briefed on that. I can't answer it.
Well, it was more than that. He was calling on people. And the first one, he's calling on people by name. I mean, he got one guy wrong. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then the guy didn't know what to do.
Yeah, and we don't get any more camera angles of his back with the little black box there, do we?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a known fact. I mean, I can just point you to websites. Well, they have video where he says, well, oh, I forgot, this is scripted. All of his stuff has been scripted. all of the people have been handpicked. Now, he came very close to a crowd of, you know, real people today, but the only thing he did was lose control. They all lost control because they...
Oh, he was getting mad. I mean, he was getting down and out and mean if you watched
it. Yeah, he was. He showed himself.
I mean, well, yeah, you got a little vision into the dark and hellish little place that is the spidery, creepy, cobweb filled mind of George Bush.
Yeah, every day I pray, dear Father, Heavenly Father, please expose the evil leaders of our world.
he was paying attention today,
so that all will know what scumbags they are. You know, and today it happened, man. It's just like he showed himself for what he was.
Right.
I want to tell you a little story about one of the last radio shows I was on.
Okay.
And for everybody out there, this won't take long, but it's you know, it's a little bit inside.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short.
Okay. One of the last radio shows I was on, I was on a radio show called The Fallout Shelter. And it was with this fella from Ohio. He kind of put it together, and there was like four or five of us. We did all kinds of crazy things. And it was the number one internet radio show for a while. And one night, this fella, David Goh, who ran the Fallout Shelter, we got into a conversation. I don't even know how it happened. But we were, you know, it was an ad-lib show right from start to finish. And we got talking about... Now, this is going to get a little risque, but it'll be all right. We got talking about horseradish, and I happen to love horseradish.
Oh, yeah.
I can't eat it anymore, but, you know, because the medication has burned up my stomach. But the point is that I really, really love it. And then it turned out that David Goh, the lead guy in the show, he says, oh, you love I love horseradish. If you love horseradish, you're going to love Dick's horseradish. And I said, well, what's Dick's horseradish? And he goes like, oh, it's a guy right here in Ohio. He's from the Ohio Hudson Valley area. And he goes, if you love horseradish, you'll love Dick's. Well, of course, at that point in time when he said that, we all kind of like stopped.
Yeah.
Can imagine.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, we're chuckling, we're laughing, we're cracking up, and it just carries on through the whole show. And
see, I'm holding back on that.
I know. And so and when the show ended, I did a little spontaneous ad, and tonight's episode of The Fallout Shelter was brought to you by your good friends at Dick's. Remember, if you love horseradish, you'll love Dick's. So anyway.
Okay. You can only do that a couple of times and I don't get at least a chuckle.
Okay, right? So it became a staple on the show. And we started using Dick's horseradish on this show as a sponsor. Well, because we were sort of left of center,
mm-hmm.
somebody reported us to the manufacturer of Dick's horseradish. They reported us. So they come on the show, on this little rinky-dink show on AlternaCast or Leichel's Talk Radio, whatever it was we were using as a service. And he comes on and he says, well, you know, I've heard that you've been using my horseradish in my name, and I don't like it. And he just bitched us out really bad, right?
Yeah.
I said bitch? I don't know. Maybe not. But anyway, sorry.
That's
anyway.
Okay. Agnes didn't go for the button. I stopped her.
Okay. He was really, really angry. And so then I said, well, you haven't heard the ad. You know? It's sort of sucking him into it because we didn't care.
Yeah.
And so he goes, well, run it by me. So I went through the whole thing. Dick's, this show has been brought to you by Dick's Horseradish. Remember, if you love horseradish, you love Dick's. And the guy, he kind of like, there was that long, pregnant pause.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he starts screaming, I'm going to sue you out of existence, you son. And he starts cursing on the air.
Oh, good for him.
He's so mad. It was unbelievable, this guy from Dick's Horseradish. And so they did. They tried to come after us. But then we, in turn, sued because he defiled our broadcast with foul language. Yes.
Do you kiss your mother with that mouth? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that kind of thing. It wasn't an actual suit. It was like, what do they call those things? Mediators or...
Yeah, and cease and desist letters and nasty grams and sure.
Yeah, between lawyers. And we had to take up a collection to get a lawyer just to write this guy a letter. We had no money. But the point of the matter was we won. We actually won. He relented. One of the largest horseradish producers of Ohio. But the reason why I wanted to tell you that is because of the fun things that happen in radio and the fun things that are happening that are all across what's going on with you, with this new network, with Guy James, and he's all these guys, Fourth Estate, and you guys have all combined forces to create this mega force that's going to come out there and take on the big boys.
Yeah, we're trying. We've come up with a new a name behind the theory, I think is the best way to describe it, Rick. We're thinking of it as open source radio.
I wouldn't have a problem with that because that'll attract every Unix and Linux user in the world just to at least take a peek. You'll think you're talking about code, then you won't be, but you'll still rope them in.
Well, exactly. Excuse me.
Huh?
Nothing. Sorry. Choking.
Oh, that's right. All that smoking, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Me too.
Yeah.
What kind of cigarettes do you smoke? Cowboy killer?
Oh, God, no. No. Whatever's buy one, get one free, to be quite
really?
Honest with you.
You know what I smoke?
What's that?
Camel filters.
I go with the Camel lights when I can.
Oh, I never would smoke a light cigarette.
Well, but, like I said, buy one, get one free. I used
Camel.
To be a Winston lights guy.
Camel lights, any light cigarettes, they're gay.
Oh, well, I'll be damned. Who knew?
Well, they are. They're dead. No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, well, if I go with the cowboy killers, I wake up the next morning and I sound like this.
Well, yeah, I can't smoke them things either. They got some kind of hideous chemical in them. I mean, when I want to quit the lights, I go to Marlboro Red.
Hardcore, Rick.
Yeah,
hardcore.
I know it. Anyway, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
Guys,
I appreciate
you guys doing a great job. I've already talked to Agnes about hooking you off stage. You can't let it happen. You know what I mean? You start talking, and I know you're watching the clock, and you watch that break go by, and you do it just to torture me. Because you know I'm watching. You have got to, this is the first time, she got you to at least get on the quarter-hour break after I talked to her about it. You have got to get on those hard breaks because you're going to be leading these guys out of the wilderness. And they're looking up to you. No offense to you fellows that have joined in. We're doing this right. And that is, there's something about radio. Let me end with this.
Yeah.
Radio, the reason why radio had so much power in this country is because it sounded official. Because it carried weight. Because it was official. Back in the days of the Fairness Doctrine, back in the days when the government ruled the radio stations with an iron fist to make sure you did your job.
Oh, yeah.
Now, a lot of people didn't like that because they couldn't come on the radio and say things that were off color or make a joke. I admit, I was scared to death. I was back in the days when I was on radio where you put your license on the transmitter, and by God, if you did the wrong thing, you could lose it.
Those
days need to come back.
To a certain extent, but I don't want them screwing around with my internet radio. We're going to hit one of those breaks, Rick.
Okay.
All I'll say is that there's already a move afoot to extend the FCC's dominion over to satellite radio and cable television, and I really, really don't want that because
No, that's the wrong thing. I'm talking about broadcast air. Say good night, Bob.
All right. Say good night, Rick.
Good night, Bob.
Good night, Rick. Later. Okay, quick break, and we come back. Hey, guys, we've got all six lines lit up. That's pretty cool. No, there's one open. There's one open. Rick just opened one up if you want to get in line. 877-4, head on, 877-443-2366. You know me. I'm Bob. You know what this is. It's as much you as it is us. That's what it is. It's head on.
Head on. DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff, 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Ken Burns said that in the end, America will be remembered for two things, jazz and baseball. Despite its obscure beginnings, baseball as we know it today is a purely American sport and one of the oldest professional sports in the world, with some teams over 130 years old. The World Baseball Classic, which finished yesterday evening when the team from Japan defeated the team from Cuba, is the first true World Series, featuring teams from every continent. Like soccer's World Cup, it'll be held every 4 years. But even though the team from America didn't win the tournament, America still won, because baseball is just one of those things that people love about America. Some people just don't understand that it's things like baseball and other popular culture that made America a global power. Not our military, which has only been successful when we've used it to defend ourselves. Fun, represented by baseball, is our best export. We brought baseball to Japan, who made it their own game and now have stars like Suzuki Ichiro, who are the equal of anyone who has ever played the game. We brought baseball to Cuba, who proved in the tournament that you don't have to earn $1 million to play like $1 million. And one day, and I won't say it'll happen soon, there will come a time when we'll figure out just how important baseball is, that the things that make life worth living are more important than just getting by. One day we'll realize that having fun is more important than making war, and then all our fighting will be on the playing field. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
A man who has the heart of a conservative, pickled in a jar on his desk. It's Bob Kincaid.
Halfway done, and I don't know where it goes, but where we got to go is straight back to the phones. Ben is joining us from Elgin, Illinois. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey there, Bob.
How you doing?
Doing great. Now, you know, the thing about that case that's a little unclear to me, okay, now, the guy did order and pay for the kiddie porn.
Right.
And that demonstrates intent.
Right.
And in other venues, when you know somebody has the intent to commit a crime, you can intervene.
In some instances, yeah.
Like if you say, you know, if somebody hires a hitman.
Well, you can stop a conspiracy.
Well, yeah, and I think that winds up being a conspiracy in this case, because he had to involve a second person, the postal inspector.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, this is this guy never could have gotten. He placed the order through a postal inspector posing as a kiddie porn distributor.
Correct. Now, I recall a case, not, you know, it was like 1992, Bob Denver.
Yeah. God rest his soul.
Yeah. Received a package.
Mm-hmm.
And thought it was a little suspicious, brought it in the house, and called the police.
Yep.
And they still charged him with possession of the marijuana that was inside it.
That's absolutely right. I think that happened right here in West Virginia.
Yep. And I just sort of wondering, I'm wondering why they didn't just wait for, you know, why they just didn't have it delivered to the door. The way they usually do this is that they will deliver the kiddie porn to the door by a federal marshal dressed as a postal
Well, that's a possibility. Well, the other thing, but my reading of the case, Ben, one of the things was that they explained to the judge in getting the warrant that the crime would not be complete until he was in possession of it. Because that is what he was busted for, possession of kiddie porn. And that's what makes this so problematic. It's not a matter of stopping a hitman in the process of ordering the hit. It's not a matter of stopping a conspiracy after someone has taken a substantial step, but before the conspiracy is brought to fruition.
Well, it is a substantial step to have paid the money.
But if there's a conspiracy.
Correct.
But the charge itself is possession of kiddie porn.
Right.
If they could have gotten a conviction on buying kiddie porn, I suppose they would have charged him with it. But what they charged him with and they got the warrant for was possession of kiddie porn before he ever possessed it.
Interesting.
And that's what makes this such a science fiction nightmare.
Yeah, that is a problem. That is a problem. You know, the other thing I was going to mention is I've been thinking about, you know, how is it? You know, Republicans seem to be able to believe three impossible things before breakfast.
Oh, no kidding, yeah.
How is it that they think that they have any concept that they are capitalists?
Oh, they're not.
Because it seems to me that all they really tried to do is instead of attempting to take the money they have and turn it into, you know, productively or unproductively, either through investing it passively or through industrialism, you know, and turning it into more money, what they really want to do is take the money they have and use it to acquire stuff they never earned.
Right.
They're not about producing wealth. They're not even about the typical, you know, unproductive coupon clipping sort of thing where you, you know, throw your money at a sure thing like Halliburton and clip your coupons.
Right.
Okay, which, you know, I personally think that is far less, laudable than, you know, true capitalism where you actually produce a good or a service.
Right, and you somehow contribute to the local economy.
Right. They're not even about that.
No.
They are about piracy. They are about going off and, you know, putting on the eye patch and hoisting the, you know, the skull and crossbones, which, you know, by the way, George Bush's fraternity uses as their symbol.
Yeah.
You know, hoisting the skull and crossbones and going off and taking, you know, going after the fat Spanish galleon. And the fat Spanish galleon this time around, you know, was, you know, the two countries of Afghanistan and, you know, Iraq.
Sure. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ben. Because somewhere, and maybe it's got. I think it might be in either Breakfast of Champions or God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater. Kurt Vonnegut remarks that some lawyer teaches one of the characters that it's not about the having of the money, but in the moving of the money, there's an instant where someone can get in there just for a brief instant and steal it blind, and that in the movement of the money, no one will ever miss it. And that's what, you know, that's why they call it, Jim Hightower calls it kleptocracy.
Yes.
Or crony capitalism. Because there's nothing even vaguely resembling, Adam Smith in any of this.
No. I had to read Adam Smith, you know. I had to read Hobbes Leviathan. I had to read Rousseau and Engels and, you know, and. So I have a fairly good idea of, you know, social theory here.
Right.
Thank you, University of Chicago. I hated every moment of it. dear God, these guys have got absolutely nothing happening like that.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, the Ports deal.
You're the Barbary State.
The Ports deal is a classic case. That's not capitalism.
No.
You know, that's a captive market. That is, that's the bestowal of a fiefdom.
Exactly. But, you know, even that is a little bit more honorable than what we did in Iraq, because, you know, there at least you're bestowing a fiefdom and you expect something in return. Okay? You know,
right.
There is, There is, you know, there is supposed to be the person who has the sinecure is supposed to do whatever trivial thing the sinecure requires to make the money.
Well, yeah, and
you know, every third year he's supposed to send a fatted calf to the Lord, right?
Right. Yeah, deliver a white rose on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But the thing we've got going on here, if that article that Greg Pallast had out that came into my inbox yesterday, and several people pointed out to me, that thing pointed out that the real plan, according to this State Department report, he says he got his hands on. You know, you got to take it on faith, and I don't care much.
He's never lied to me yet.
Yeah. But he says that the State Department, the whole goal, you know, George Bush might have been ostensibly telling the truth, you know, on a sort of glossed over, you know, scum on the top of the pond sort of way, when he said, no, it wasn't about getting the oil. It was and what Pallast points out is it was the precise opposite. And that's not capitalism either. We invaded Iraq to stop them from putting oil into the market, because Iraqi oil in the market is bad for the Saudis.
And it's absolutely bad for the Saudis.
Because they get rich by not pumping it. I mean,
And understand that there was absolutely not a chance on God's gray earth that Saddam Hussein was going to listen to OPEC ever again.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, yeah, no.
You know,
he was
prior to 91, you know, except when he was in that war and he had to sell oil,
right?
You know, beyond the OPEC limits to buy, you know, to buy bombs and
poison gas from us
and things. Beyond that, you know, he obeyed OPEC guidelines.
Yeah.
But you know, after having his derriere handed to him. By Bush and the Saudis and everybody else in the Arab world, the Egyptians, even the Libyans said, yeah, go get him.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a chance he was going to listen to OPEC.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, he had listened to OPEC, and look what it got. I mean, part of the reason for that whole so-called border dispute that he had with Kuwait, and that engendered the April Glaspie memo of great infamy, was the fact that what do they call it? There's a drilling means, you know, a lot of us who don't know anything about the oil industry think, well, you know, you drill a well, that means you go straight down, you know, you point it straight down and you go. But it turns out the Kuwaitis, who have their own oil availability problems, were drilling sideways into his patch.
Exactly right.
And
it's
so,
like,
you know,
it's like a drift mine, sort of.
Yeah.
Like.
So, you know, so much for cooperating with OPEC. His OPEC brothers were screwing him and stealing him blind. Not that,
gotcha.
You know, this is no defense of Saddam Hussein. They're all jerks over there.
Yep.
You know, I keep wondering if the Arabic translation into English of Emir, E-M-I-R, I wonder if that's Arabic for dictator or a guy who what he says goes.
That's pretty much it.
I mean, we call it the United Arab Emirates, you know, and I refer to it as the dictatorship. And I'm not being mean. I'm not, you know, evil dictator. I don't use that the way George Bush says. I use it in the classical sense from antiquity. A dictator is one who is bestowed with the power to declare that, to dictate what the law shall be.
And that's pretty much the case, except there are certain aspects of the law they're not allowed to change because they are part of Sharia.
Right. Like, if you convert to Christianity, you got to die.
Exactly.
I don't know. What was that beep?
That was my cell phone.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Ben. Thanks for the commentary and thanks for the thoughts. And, you know, if you look at this warrant case, you're going to... this made my eyeballs roll back in my head. It's creepy.
Well, you know, they're going to... understand that this does tie into what they did in New York with their anticipatory arrests for people that they thought would cause trouble if they demonstrated.
Oh yeah, but you mean before the GOP convention?
Yes.
Yeah.
They made peremptory arrests.
Well, but now and but see the,
which, the last time I heard a peremptory arrest is called kidnap.
Yeah. It kind
of,
yeah.
Know, even if it's done by an officer of the law, if he takes you. When he shouldn't take you, there's a clause called false arrest.
Exactly.
and which is basically official kidnap.
And see, now they got this nice little kiddie porn case where it's almost impossible to say anything. I mean, you can't say anything good about the guy. But
nope.
The thing is, they got an op. Next time, you know, next time George Bush needs to have somebody disappeared before he goes somewhere. Why, we anticipated that they were going to break the law by being disruptors, and we just, you know, we arrested them for the crime they were going to commit.
Well, here, I have a suggestion about something that we can get ourselves arrested for.
Oh, boy, like I need that. Go ahead.
Well, we do, and that is, if this election is stolen from us in November, I believe that week following the darned election, we need to converge on Washington, D.C., absolutely, positively, without permits. And we need to put a few million people on the streets of Washington, D.C., and we need to bail about until they will do something about listening to us or shoot us down.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you go with, when you go the permit route, you're playing in the system.
That's right, and I think that it is time to not play the system anymore. They've broken the social contract.
Yeah, busted it wide open.
Yep.
Ben, thanks so much.
You take care, sir.
You too. Bye now. And rolling onward, Bob in North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're head on. Thanks for waiting, man. Oh, Bob. 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 Okay, Bob back on hold, dear, and we'll come back to Bob. Okay, Andrew. Andrew, you're head on.
Bob.
How you doing?
Doing okay. Can't complain. Just wanted to call up about the whole preemptive warrant thing with the porn case.
Yeah, it kind of gives you chills, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. But I was thinking that, hey, what if, you know, like, the Department of Justice goes to your neighbor's house and says, hey, just want you to keep an eye on that guy across the street because, you know, we got our eye on him, yada, yada. Just, you know, let us know if you see anything suspicious or whatever. Or if you have a complaint, call your local authorities. You know, it's
well, you know, that's interesting you bring that up, Andrew, because a few months ago, that just crazy dude from Wisconsin, Jim Sensenbrenner,
mm-hmm.
familiar with him?
Yes.
He proposed a law within, I think it was either No Child Left Behind or the Patriot Act. I mean, that's where they love to hide all the, either one of those two, they love to hide creepy stuff in there. He had proposed the idea of making it a felony if you knew of someone who you thought might be selling drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that you didn't rat on them.
Yep. Then you can be liable to.
That you are, well, not just liable,
help.
You're a felon.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, that's the, you know, I'm not mean or anything, Andrew, but I mean, I'm kind of anti-authoritarian because I think I'm a good enough human being to generally do the right thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't constantly need some overarching Republican figure. Daddy figure keeping an eye on me.
Exactly, watching your every move. And then let alone pitting us against each other.
Right.
You know? It's like pitting society against each other.
I mean, it's like the new buzzword for the domestic spying program. They're trying desperately in the White House to come up with...
Terrorist surveillance program.
Terrorist surveillance program.
Oh, God. I mean, how many acronyms? They have more acronyms than...
Just
slap terrorist on anything, and, you know...
It's the TSP. Scary. It's the TSP of the NSA overseen by the DHS.
Yeah. Oh, man, I guess they're going to have a Bureau of Thought Police, too.
Well, that's where we're going. I'm no great, like I said, no great fan of Tom Cruise, but I love the science fiction of Philip K. Dick. And the thing that was that was the basis of Minority Report, that movie, where they had these telekinetic freaks in a swimming pool who saw the future and saw who was going to commit a crime.
Mm-hmm.
That's where these guys want to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And it scares the life out of me because I could be taken down as easy as anybody because
exactly anybody can go if you're a dissenter and if you talk, you know, truth to this administration, and they deem you as maybe getting a little big for your britches, they can pull one of these stunts on you and, you know, have
yeah,
to
and they always, beard. Exactly, and Andrew, they always go down this authoritarian road that, you know,
yeah.
that you know, they're going to shake you down.
Yeah, that's it.
And, you know, we'll show him.
Yeah, And it goes, and all goes back to that fear mongering, and that's it. That's all they have. All they have is that fear mongering.
It just it scares me. I mean, I hate to just flog the fact that Agnes and I have a family, but Andrew, it scares the dickens out of me for the world my kids are growing up into.
Yeah, it would scare everybody if they knew what was going on, and we probably would have had a million in the streets by now. If the American public knew what was going on, but
you know, you take something like this anticipatory warrant business, and you tuck it into a kiddie porn case, and you know,
it breezes right through. Nobody's, you know, and then it rears its ugly head down the road.
Yeah, this was a 9-0 decision.
Yeah, unanimous.
You know, this is
that's
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I can't believe that, you know, she sided on that, you know, on that side of the case. With, you know, that's an overreaching precedent there.
Yeah, it is.
And it's another violation of our constitutional rights.
Well, and the thing is, they didn't even blink at the whole setup of the thing. This was in, you know, far be it from me to defend a guy who's busted for kiddie porn. Okay.
Yeah, but he's not defendable.
But the thing is, he bought his kiddie. He ordered the kiddie porn from a postal inspector.
See that. That's, you know, he was framed.
That guy, you know,
that's,
because
that's
they,
framing.
Yeah, if you think about it, Andrew, the postal inspector de facto had to commit a crime because they got the arrest warrant for once this guy was in possession of the kiddie porn. In other words, it had the tape had to have child pornography on it in order to bust him for possessing it. Okay, I mean, you with me so far?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, so that means that the postal inspector had to possess the kiddie porn.
Exactly, and therefore he was complicit in the crime.
Who produced the kiddie porn for the postal inspector?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure.
You're going to have a massive sweep if you're going to do that.
Well, the postal inspector and the federal government were actively engaged Andrew.
That's where it begins.
Yeah, but it's not just cahoots. The federal government was engaged in the kiddie porn business. That's the one. That's the one where your blood runs cold.
Yeah. They produced it.
Well, either they produced it, or it was part, you know, it was part of their evidence locker or something.
Yeah, they procured it.
But they were still actively involved in exploiting child sex.
Mm-hmm.
And at, you know, it's one of the, you know, so, you know, Sherman set the Wayback Machine for 1776, because me and Tom Jefferson and me and Ben Franklin and me and John Adams got to have a conversation about them setting up a government that's going to wind up in the kiddie porn business.
Just plotters. They're just nothing but filthy, dirty plotters. That's all they know how to do is plot.
Yeah, and, you know, you got the Justice Department out there crowing about the fact that they took down a marijuana candy factory.
That's sick. I mean, the government is just, you know, these guys are, like, out of control.
You know,
and it's sick that they're going to involve themselves in kiddie porn.
Yeah, and the thing is, by extension, Andrew, they involved you in kiddie porn.
Yeah.
They involved me in kiddie porn because our tax dollars supported that filthy postal inspector who possessed kiddie porn.
Exactly. Like all our tax dollars, you know, support all this filthy legislation and illegal wars that we're fighting and.
Yeah, and I mean, I know we've had to kind of go through a few steps on this thing, but those are steps we have to take if you're, you know, it's
got to go to the root of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a 12-step program with the Bush administration. You got to admit that there is a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, I tell you what.
I know. Well, that one blew my mind there for a little bit, and I was like, oh well.
Yeah,
for about 10 seconds though.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh yeah, this is par for the freaking course, you know.
Yeah, and then the longer it's like trying to eat a raw oyster. The more you chew on it, the bigger it gets.
Exactly. The harder it is to swallow.
Yeah, because I started out reading the story, and it's like, well, you know, that kind of stinks. And then I went, holy hell.
Yeah.
The feds are in the kiddie porn business.
And then you're like, what? 9-0.
Yeah, 9-0. I mean, you know, the other team didn't even show up. Jiminy Christmas.
The Bush administration pitches another no-hitter, huh?
Yeah, and you know that's the thing. You know, if we could just prove that Osama bin Laden had some kiddie porn, the postal inspectors could probably find him.
Yeah, they could. And hey, they know everything that you buy anyway, and I'm sure they know the kiddie porn dealers. All they have to do is just trace their credit card. That's all. if you want to go that route. But
yeah, how is it you and me can figure this out, but they can't?
Face the card. They know where the porn sites are and where you can buy porn. You
sure.
Know, like you said, they're producing it, obviously, and or they're buying mass quantities of it and using it as props.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. They assume so much stupidity on the part of the American people. And I don't want them to be right. Maybe they are. But, you know, this moron is standing out in front of the American people today, Andrew, and he says, you know, our terrorist surveillance program, you know, if the Democrats want to say that we don't need a terrorist surveillance program, they need to debate that in the marketplace of blah, 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 blah. You know, I guess I'm just dumb or something, but I figure if they know which phones to listen into to pick up the terrorist phone conversations dialing into America, they
can trace a MasterCard, is all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, well, and they can, but Andrew, they can trace a phone call. If they can intercept it, they can trace it. And, you know, when Osama calls his buddy in the sleeper cell in the Poconos.
Mm-hmm.
They're listening to it. They can trace it. I mean,
they can trace any financial transaction, check, maybe not hard cash. Well, if you go they can trace pretty much everything. I mean, except for what you got in your pocket right now. So.
Right, and it won't be long before that's got an RFID chip in it, and and cash will be traceable then too.
I mean, we're all traced anyway now by our cell phones.
Right.
You know when that little network icon clicks on, yay.
They know where you are.
They'll put a tow missile on you, they'll drop one on you.
If that's what they decide they want to do.
You know, it is what it is. But
sleep tight tonight, America.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew, thank you so much, brother.
Yep.
Later.
Nice talking to you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, let that thing rattle around for you a little bit. That will make you scream when you realize that you're paying for the feds to be in the kiddie porn biz so that they can bust some dude who orders kiddie porn. That's a live one. I'll tell you what, it's that time again. We got news coming up. Lots of phone calls to get to. Please stick around. Stay with us. Be patient. We're going as fast as we possibly can. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366 is the number. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
With Bob Kincaid.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Sure. I mean, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
We're a nice little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Head On Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. George Bush sounded angry today, appearing for the first time in ages and fielding questions from real reporters. Bush attempted to defend his decision to attack the people of Iraq. Asked by Helen Thomas what his real motive was for the slaughter he started, Bush fell back on his old standby.
We realized on September 11, 2001, that killers could destroy innocent life. And I'm never going to forget it. And I'm never going to forget the vow I made to the American people that we will do everything in our power to protect our people. Part of that meant to make sure that we didn't allow people to provide safe haven to an enemy, and that's why I went into Iraq.
Bush even went so far as to try to claim yet again that Saddam had some affiliation with the Taliban. Also, during his news conference, Bush claimed that Iraq is not in a state of civil war and said he expects that American troops will still be in Iraq after his presidency mercifully ends. Meanwhile, in Iraq today, an armed group of as many as 100 Iraqis stormed a jail using machine guns and rocket-propelled grenades and freed at least 24 prisoners. At least 25 people were killed in the attack, and 20 police vehicles were destroyed. Meanwhile, another American soldier was killed in Baghdad today. The military didn't release his name, only stating that he was killed by small arms fire. Torture is one of the symptoms of Bush's war against Iraq. Sergeant Michael Smith was convicted today of using vicious dogs to torture Iraqi prisoners at Abu Ghraib. Even more unsettling, Smith was charged with torturing the human beings for his own amusement. Smith's partner in his torture-for-fun scheme goes on trial in May. The United States Supreme Court says that police can get warrants for crimes that haven't even happened yet. The court held Tuesday that police may obtain a warrant even if the crime is only anticipated. The ruling came in a child pornography case. Jeffrey Grubbs purchased a kiddie porn video by mail from a U.S. postal inspector. Police got a warrant for Grubbs even before the tape was delivered. Writing for a unanimous court, Tony Scalia said the Constitution permits what he called anticipatory searches. This is News on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Pro-democracy activists are trying to save the vote in California. A coalition of citizens filed suit against California's chief elections official Tuesday. They hope to stop the certification of voting machines made by Diebold. The citizens contend the Diebold machines fail to meet federal and state standards and are prone to failure. The British government opened the trial Tuesday of 7 people charged with plotting to carry out bombings in the UK. The defendants wanted to retaliate against Great Britain for taking part in George Bush's war against Iraq. The 7 individuals are denying the charges. Fear is making its way to the dinner table. Fewer Americans are eating raw fish, oysters, undercooked beef, and soft-boiled eggs. That's according to a study released Tuesday by the Centers for Disease Control. The CDC study found that African Americans eat the least of those foods deemed to be risky, while Asians and Pacific Islanders eat the most. Under intense pressure from the religious right in the U.S., the White House called on the Afghan government Tuesday to spare the life of a man charged with converting to Christianity. In the U.S.-sponsored Afghan government, Islamic Sharia law controls. That law demands that Muslims who convert to Christianity be put to death. 41-year-old Abdul Rahman faces the death penalty if he refuses to renounce Christ. Afghan Foreign Minister Abdullah Abdullah says the Afghan government has nothing to do with the case. The UN is at a stalemate over Iran. Russia and China want to change language in the Franco-British statement about Iran's nuclear power program. The stalemate comes in the midst of another round of fear-mongering ginned up by the Bush administration. A Miami dancer's career may have gone bust. The young woman has filed a $100 million lawsuit
claiming she lost her job in the Broadway touring company of the musical Movin' Out when her breasts got too big. Alice Elise says she was dismissed from the company when her breasts went from a C to a D cup while she recovered from an injury. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All righty then. About 52 minutes to go to get it all out of our system. And I got a couple more stories here we can get into. But let's get into the phones first. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good, you?
Good, good, man. Great show.
Thank you.
Great show. So many people, so many comments.
Yeah.
Ben, listening to Ben, I know Ben's an intelligent man, and he realizes that he's advocating civil disobedience.
Yes.
I want him to know I'm on board.
Cool.
You know, come on over here. We'll take my car to Washington. I mean, it's about time. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to wake up these people. And Bob Denver, I didn't know that he ratted himself out.
Yeah.
With the package?
Yeah, that was Ben's understanding was the way I recalled it.
Okay, that came from Marianne, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it might have been pretty good stuff. It might have come from the professor.
Yeah.
You know, growing them in growing the plants in coconut
Marianne
shells and
the
everything.
Professor.
Yeah, right. They were always in cahoots.
Listen, I know you played the clip with Helen Thomas and asking George Bush.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Huh? I mean, that was amazing.
I thought he was going to come across the podium at her.
Listen, that guy was going through so many contortions, I thought there for a minute he was going to slip through his ass and hang himself. I mean, it was amazing. Am I allowed to say that?
No, you just did. It's okay. Beautiful.
I mean, it would have been great to see. I'm going to continue to watch, you know.
But,
I mean, I was, oh, God.
But, you know, Helen. Yeah.
Yeah. I respect you and all that. You old Arab is what you wanted.
Yeah, right. You old bat.
Yeah, you know. Where's Ann Coulter when I need her?
Where's Jeff Gannon?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, did you catch that story last weekend about it was out of the Washington Post about the White House getting busted for phony baloney reporters again?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh hell yeah!
Who's there now?
The White House was scouting places for Dear Leader to go after Katrina, to go and look at the devastation. And two people showed up at the house. I think the name of the family, Akins was the name of the family.
Yeah.
And they show up there and they said, we're reporters from Fox News. You know.
Oh, okay. I did see that.
Yeah, we're reporters.
Those were front men.
Yeah, we're reporters from Fox News. And we're just out here doing stories on the devastation and wanted to talk to you a little bit. And they sat there and interviewed them and everything. And then come back to them and said, ah, well, we're not really reporters. We're Secret Service agents.
I think if you dig deep enough, you'll find out that one of those guys is also an onion farmer.
No doubt.
Huh?
No doubt.
Think?
Yeah.
I bet. You know, I mean, he's a real versatile guy there. Real versatile guy.
Yeah, the Cleveland onion farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, growing onions in the cracks in the pavement at Cleveland International Airport.
So Jeez. Bush is doing a lot of this secret stuff now. He's secretly coming to Wheeling tomorrow.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's just going to sneak in?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they announced it, I think, 8 o'clock last night or something, you know. Can't give anybody too much, you know. And tickets are available to any member of the Wheeling Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, brother. You know? yeah, UMWA need not apply.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Any union people.
Yeah, no carpenters, no millwrights, no miners, no painters, no bricklayers, no nothing.
You know. Just people that are making a lot of money off of all the stupid, ignorant things that we do.
Right.
You know? And as far as the kiddie porn business, they ain't never going to bust them people. Those people are some of the biggest donors to the Republican Party that there is.
Well, there's some. I mean, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily kiddie porn, but you remember Mary Carey?
Yes.
The porn star that went that had dinner with George a few months back? She's having dinner with him again.
Isn't that amazing?
And she's getting an award for Businesswoman of the Year.
What'd she do?
Dude, we can't talk about that on the show.
She's getting an award?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
From the Republican Businessmen's Association or some such.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you know, and she's giving them the business, all right.
All the males in the administration are gay anyway. I mean, you know, who's going to, you know.
Yeah, that big old log closet they all live in.
You're right. You know, Gannon and Scotty and, you know, Ashcroft. You know, that oil. Well,
yeah, the Crisco.
Yeah, Crisco guy. So.
Ew.
I know.
just that's one of those. Ew.
But, I don't know. Here's I'm going to watch more. I hope he has more secret. Well, I don't think. I think the secret news conferences are over. You know, as long as Helen Thomas is still alive.
No, then I ain't answering no more questions from that old air.
Where's Helen at? She's in Washington. Okay, we'll do one in San Diego.
Yeah, wherever Helen is, ain't.
Wherever she isn't.
Yeah, where's Jeff Gannon when I need him? Dang.
Well, that was beautiful. I mean, you know, I hope some of the other reporters took some note there. I mean, you know. Don't be afraid, man.
Yeah, stand up. Be
tough. Exactly.
Because, I mean, there were a couple of questions here and there this morning, but nobody dared get tough with him like she did.
Well, I mean, she just, you talk about a direct question. You know, every excuse you use is proven to be wrong. So why don't you tell us why you really went there?
Well, that and the fact that what she laid out prior to that question, Wayne, she said hundreds of thousands of Americans and Iraqis are dead or wounded or maimed because of what you did. And you'll notice he never got around to that. Now, the premise of your question's false.
Right.
All due respect. No, the premise isn't false. 100,000 people and more are dead, are maimed, are wounded because of him.
I'm telling you, if she'd had a couple more minutes, she'd have broke him.
and next step, waterboarding.
Yeah. Listen, man, I know you got the lines all lit up. I'm going to let somebody else have a shot here.
All right, you take it easy, man.
All right, buddy, good show.
Thanks. Bye now. And our buddy Chris, from whom we have not heard in a long, long time in Alabama. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
What's going on, brother?
How about some Tuesday evening follies?
All right.
All right, this first one is dedicated to my great buddy Wayne.
All right.
You know, Bush met with Jason McElwain, you know, the kid who made the basketball shots.
Right.
But what you don't know is the phone call he made to Jason on Air Force One before he landed.
All right.
Bush asked Jason, Jason? You like to watch movies about gladiators? Okay. Also in the news, the British... Ben Birch, I'm getting into your area here. Also in the news, British Parliament is up in arms with a little-known fact that young kids in Britain are learning two important words from the news coming out of Iraq, and they are now seeking to censor it. Those two words, occupying force. School kids in Britain are asking questions about Ireland. We can't have that. Okay.
Yeah.
No response. It is decided in the Bush administration that Bush's poll numbers are just, you know, in the dumper.
Right.
So starting tomorrow on Fox Network, Laura Bush is going to start appearing once a week. And she's going to model all her latest piercings and tattoos. Something like that. Trent Lott is wanting to get back in the news so he can overturn the 14th Amendment to get controversy away from Roe v. Wade. There's a rumor, it's just an internet rumor, if you play the International backwards, you get the Texas University fight song.
That's
good. I
don't
know if that's true.
Yeah.
But I'm ching.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bum.
Okay, this is the scary one. Upon hearing that Condi Rice has jokingly mentioned hoping to run the National Football League someday, or a run for the White House, the Mansell Report would like to ask Bob Kincaid listeners, please accept Condi Rice as the new commissioner of the NFL. Sure, you'll lose your Sundays to halftime shows of shopping for shoes while the statistics of the killed, maimed, and wounded roll across the bottom of the screen. But think of her in the White House as your commander-in-chief. And I think maybe you can make the sacrifice.
Well, you joke, but there's so much truth in that.
There's
at one
so
point,
much truth in it.
At one point, George Bush just wanted to be commissioner of baseball.
Yeah.
And why did, you know, Bud Selig, you un-American son of a gun, why couldn't you just let George Bush be commissioner of baseball and leave the rest of the nation alone?
Yeah. But, okay, on a serious note, there is an historic election in Florence, Alabama today.
Really?
Extremely historic.
Okay.
When first, since Nelson Starkey died, the District 1 is open. And a Republican, William Smith, who is one slimy, fill in the blank.
Is he about like 6 feet three?
Dark hair.
Our age?
Yeah.
My age?
Yeah.
Ew, I went to high school with him.
Yeah. And the Democrat is running Tammy Irons, who is a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Underwood with her, and I went and voted for her this evening and took Carrie down to meet her, to her headquarters, and I'm just hoping like everything that she's going to win. Her ideas are exactly what we needed in the Alabama State House, and boy, I tell you, this position, District 1, has never had a Republican in it.
No.
And if Tammy wins, she will be the first woman to ever win District 1.
Right.
So I tried to get as many people as I could to go out and vote. But if she wins, she's invited us down to Montgomery, and she said maybe Carrie could be a page for her for a day.
Oh, that would be sweet.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be.
She went up to Carrie, and she said, you're the one that's so interested in politics. Well, you're such a good little girl.
Well, any idea on returns yet?
I haven't heard anything yet. We went down there, but we had to come back home because Carrie's got to go to school in the morning.
Oh, I remember William Smith. I think he was a year below me in high school. And
yeah, from what I've heard about him. And I know,
you know, one of those folks that you wouldn't trust in an outhouse with a muzzle on.
Well, I know the lady he married. I know a little stuff about her. So if he does get elected, I can make his life miserable.
Well, good. I mean, I have yet to find a Republican whose life shouldn't be made miserable.
Well, don't worry. If it happens, I will. I have no qualms about it.
And let's see. That's I'm always forgetting the Mansell Report.
The Mansell Report.
.blogspot.com, and that's Mansell with one N and one L.
That's right.
TheMansellReport.blogspot.com. For those of you listening, Chris routinely channels Hunter S. Thompson. Dude,
absolutely.
There is some. Dude, you write some twisted stuff.
I love Hunter. to me, it tears me up to think about it. Hunter's still around with me.
Yeah.
He is still around. I found online now, Yahoo'd Hunter S. Thompson and clicked on the audio section. And there is a three or four part interview from the Parish Review.
Mm-hmm.
George Plimpton interviewing Hunter.
Oh, wow.
And he actually talks about when he was in Vietnam. So it's extremely entertaining thing to listen
yeah.
to.
Well, hey, let me make a suggestion for you, Chris, too, because I know you've got you've got thoughts that just sort of bang into your brain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
I know a great place where you can expend some of that and have a blast doing it, besides blogging. And that is over at our pals, WD40.com.
Yeah, I put some stuff over there, and nobody ever responded to it. I kept looking back, and I go, well, maybe somebody else.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes, I mean, you got to understand, sometimes that you bring your A material and you expect a response, and sometimes people are just sitting there going, wow.
No, I was hoping that someone would say, you know, you're an idiot, or no, that's
something. Oh, don't ask those dudes. Don't tempt those dudes. Clyde and Wally and Dookie. Oh, and Ed. No, don't tell them to call you an idiot. Cause,
well, you know, I've already had little Jeffy up there call me stuff. And
no, well, you know,
I just got out of therapy, you know.
Well, but, yeah, see, now that's the nice thing about headonradio.com and the message boards there, Chris. It's all nice and cleaned up now.
Really?
Yeah, we are troll-free at this point, I think.
No, I've been interested in politics for so many years, and now that my daughter is growing up, as I was explaining to her this evening, she said, you know, I can't wait. She gets to vote in 9 more years. She gets to vote. She says, I can't wait to vote to change the way this this area is.
Oh, man. Said, well, feed that optimism, man.
You can change the world.
Yeah, feed that optimism. Don't let her get jaded before she gets 18.
No, she's not jaded. She just gets mad.
At a
and
girl.
That's what you got to do. You got to get mad. You got to get upset enough to want to try and change things.
Right, exactly. Hey, Chris, we got to hit it, brother.
All right, more follies next Tuesday.
All right, good hearing from you.
All right.
Take care now. Bye. And speaking of WD40.com, D-U-B-Y-A-D, the number 4, the number 0.com, our good buddy Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, you?
Not too bad. I got a hell of a cold.
Yeah, you sound a little rough.
Yeah, I'm not feeling too good.
Well, I mean,
hello.
You, how you holding up?
Oh, not too bad. I made it to work today, so I guess I'll be all right. We just got nailed with a heck of a snowstorm.
Yeah, you did. I was reading about that. Is that stuff like aiming at me?
Oh, God, I hope not. I just shoveled 2 feet of snow off my front porch this morning, sick as a dog.
Yeah, that's all. You know, that's always fun when they come in tandem like that.
Oh, jeez. Hey, I owe you an apology, Bob.
For what?
Well, this is the first time I was on, and I threw a couple cuss words in there because I'm not used to talking on the radio or anything
like
that.
That's okay. We're a forgiving bunch.
Well, yeah, but Clyde and the boys, they dogged me about it.
Well, that's their job.
They told me you can't be doing that, so because I'm the new guy in the bunch.
Yeah, don't sweat it, Ed.
So I don't want them. Well, yeah, but they'll beat me up.
I don't know. We'll try to get you back, man.
I kind of like what the guy had to say about something about falling through his ass and hanging himself or something. That was a good one. I'm going to have to re-record that so I can
use that
later.
That's the beauty of this show, Ed. I've got, I couldn't do better with a paid staff of comedy writers.
Oh, that was great. That guy was pretty sharp. I liked him. And Chris wasn't bad either, this last guy.
Oh, yeah, Chris is brilliant. I mean,
I liked him a lot.
The mansellreport.blogspot.com is just, Chris lets people just wander freely through the mad maunderings of his mind, and it's a fun place to go.
Yeah, I'm not very good on a computer and stuff like that, so I get onto pages like that, and I can't figure out my way around or what I'm doing, and I have a real tough time. I can't even figure out how to respond on my own website.
Haven't gotten to that button yet?
Well, I guess I'm just not a very smart man.
Oh, now quit that.
So.
No, I mean, I'm proud of what intelligence I have, Ed, but I freely admit that I am completely just snookered by the average PC.
Yeah, it just kills me trying to figure it out, because as soon as I figure it out, then they come up with something new, and then I got to go through 6 or 8 more months of figuring it out.
Yeah, and then they come out with a new version.
Well, yeah.
Imagine the poor IT guys.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes, I guess.
what are you doing? Is it the flu? You ain't got the bird flu, do you, Ed?
Jeez, I hope not. No, I woke up Sunday morning and I started losing my voice, and I'm starting to get it back a little bit, but it's not doing so good yet.
Well, let me just give you a little secret. Germs cannot live in alcohol.
Oh well, that's not a problem, Bob. But they can really make it a big fight.
Yeah, they can. They can.
Yeah, they're fighting me. They're fighting me tooth and nail.
You got a new Inside Ed's Head up yet?
I'll have one up tomorrow. It's more of a retaliatory strike against the guy. But really what I wanted to talk to you about was the NCAA tournament.
Oh, please. Engage me, Ed. Engage me. I'm so still just worked over this thing.
Well, I listened to your Thursday night broadcast Monday night. That would have been yesterday.
Yeah.
And you were telling about how you and your dad were watching it, and how many teams you got left?
Actually, I'm not doing too bad. I was right about Texas, and I was right about WVU so far. I was, oddly enough, engaged in some wishful thinking about Duke. I had George Washington taking them out. I don't know what I was thinking. I was right about Connecticut.
Wouldn't that have been great?
Oh.
I got Texas going to the Final Four and playing Boston College in the final.
Whoa. Now, that's one I haven't heard.
Boston. Well, see, Boston College got screwed in that ACC championship game.
Oh, well, yeah, there's no doubt that they did.
Boston College is a good team.
Now, see, I like to apply the karma factor to it, Ed, because, see, we lost... The Mountaineers lost to Texas in November in a tournament, oddly enough, in Kansas City. And they lost by a point. It was 76-75. They lost in the waning seconds of the game for two reasons. One, they couldn't shoot free throws. And two, we had an open guy going in for a layup who just got mugged and a no call.
Well, and that's been... You know, it kind of happens that way. It's kind of freaky the way basketball's done.
Oh, I love this tournament. I love this tournament. As much as I love college football, can you imagine if they would do with college football what they do with this tournament?
Oh, geez, it's unbelievable.
The country would absolutely be on fire.
I'm thinking maybe Republicans are in charge of college football.
Well, it's screwed up enough. It makes perfectly good sense.
Yes, it is. But you see, I got to tell you, I had my my beloved Iowa Hawkeyes picked to advance past your Mountaineers.
Now, see, in my absolutely out of my mind bracketology, Ed, I got them winning the national championship. Mountaineers.
Well. They're a lot closer than my Hawkeyes are.
Well, I don't know what look, what happened to your Hawkeyes darn near happened to us with Northwestern State. Those guys, you know, you guys had them down 15, we had them down 20, 24, and they just rotate in 15 guys to year 5 and try to wear you down. You're sitting there going, "Dear God, how long can you hold out?"
Isn't that something? They got 10 kids that are in constantly. It's like they got 7 guys on the court.
Yeah, it really is. and the thing is, by the time they stay fresh all the way through it, and
they do,
and they play fierce basketball. I mean, they don't mind getting under there and throwing a couple of elbows.
No, you're right. I agree. They were without a doubt the better team against Iowa.
Well, they move into this mindset where, you know, once they're down 15 or 20, they go, well, you know, if we can't beat them, we'll beat them up.
To tell you the truth, I think it was because of their coach.
Yeah.
I think Steve Alford ought to just take his butt right down to Indiana and let him lose for them instead of us.
Well, that's about the size of it.
You know, I mean, when you got...
Well, Indiana wants him. Indiana wants him, Ed.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's a lot of fans down in Bloomington that just think that Steve Alford would be the bee's knees.
Well, I say send the boy down.
Yeah.
Because he really hasn't done much for us.
Well, he was a wunderkind there for a little bit.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he did his best when he was at Southwest Missouri State.
Well, at Southwest Missouri State, and then he came in and he played with Gene Cady's kids.
No, it wasn't Gene.
No,
Cady.
Not Gene Cady.
Tom Davis.
Yeah, Tom Davis. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Where did I get Gene Cady?
Gene Cady was at Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue. Yeah, yeah. It was Tom Davis's kids, and that's where he had his greatest success.
Right. And
I mean, it's the same thing that you see with Bob Stoops at Oklahoma in football.
Yeah, they done.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm holding out hope. Now I have one question, and you can help me with this, Ed. You know how at the beginning of the tournament, and I the teams that play in the first round on Thursday play the second round on Saturday, right?
Right.
And the teams that play in the second round, or in the first round on Friday, play in the second round on Sunday.
Right.
Okay. Well, now I noticed in the bracketing, now it's Bass Ackwards, and it seems kind of unfair because the teams that played in the second round on Sunday play in the Sweet 16 on Thursday, and the teams that played on Saturday get an extra day's rest and play on Friday. I just noticed that, and that just it seemed wrong.
Well, you're a way more observant guy than I am, because I didn't see that.
Well, you know, actually, I'm just more of a geek than you, Ed. Because I'm a bad geek.
I don't know if I'd say that.
Hey, Ed, we got to roll along and take the break. So great to hear from you. Man, hit the hot tea with a little, old Colonel's whatever sour mash in it, and you'll be feeling better in no time.
I got to say, go Mountaineers for you.
All right, I appreciate that.
I'm pulling for you.
All right, thanks so much.
Talk to you next time.
Later, Ed, and we'll be looking for the column tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye now. And let's see, quick break, then we come back. Phone number 877, the number 4 Head On, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution that sounds like a don't you know, we're talking about a revolution that sounds
I'm Bruce Birch, and here's a little taste of All Things with Bruce Birch. We have leaders in power right now in the seat of government in Washington, D.C., that are hedging their bets. They're hoping that by not jumping around and opposing the president too vocally, that they won't upset the conservative-leaning members of their party. And, you know, I got to tell you something. If it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck and has feathers like a duck and sounds like Daffy Duck, maybe the damn thing's a duck. We expect you to act a certain way when you get into office. And we need a radical change. I'm sorry, but we do need a radical change in our war policy. Join me next Sunday night as I welcome guest Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine. That's All Things with Bruce Birch, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Conservatives? We don't need no stinking conservatives. Here's Bob Kincaid.
So let's run it into the end of the show here. 25 and a half minutes before the hour. And let's hit it hard. Okay? We're having a blast. Absolutely having a blast with all the fun little emoticons and the sounds and the beeps and the whistles and the whips and the slaps and the cracks and the sound effects you can use in the headonradionetwork.com chat room. Oh, this is just too cool. And please understand, I had nothing to do with it. I barely have the brains to sign into the thing, okay? This is exclusively the hard computer skull sweat of our good friends and compatriots and compadres, the Bruce Birch and John Fox. That wild and wacky John and Paul Beatles type thing, duo that are with you every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Fourth Estate Radio. They made this chat room happen, and they have done a whale of a job. So, don't just let it sit there. Jump in. Have fun. This is another way that we build community. You can build community by going to headonradio.com and jumping in on the message boards there. I'm so old-fashioned, I'm not cool enough to call it a blog. Because there's, in a way, there's a little bit of ego involved with a blog. It's, I'll tell you what the topic is, now you know, there's people, start your own topics. Like I keep saying, you can drive this bus too. This is for everybody. And, you guys are on the ball. You stop me when I'm about to screw up. Our good friend Kelly emailed in to warn me again. Somebody in the chat room said that open source radio is already gone, and then Kelly's on top of it and writes in and says, probably not such a good title, as it will be derogatorily referred to as open source radio. Good job, Kelly. That's so true. Okay. I'm just brainstorming a little bit on the air. Every now and then you guys have to pull me back off the ledge. Because, I got a million ideas. One of them's going to be brilliant. The other 999,999, anybody's guess. So, thanks. Thanks, Kelly. I appreciate it. Open source radio. Now, a couple of other notes from the email. A very interesting and thoughtful essay rolled in from our friend Quincy in Central Texas. And I need to hear this stuff from time to time from places like Texas. Because I am as guilty as the next guy. I have been told by the mainstream media that, that's red state. Yeah, I mean, it really has been effective, hasn't it? There are people in blue states. First of all, I look at blue states and oh, those people must live in paradise where everybody's liberal and progressive. No, they don't. I mean, there are religious weirdos as hard at work in Massachusetts, Oregon, Washington, California. As hard at work there as they are in Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, Georgia, you know what I mean. And there are good, forward-thinking, not afraid of the future, progressives, Democrats in Texas, in Alabama, our good friend Chris calling in. And in many ways, the Democrats, the liberals, the progressives, the decent people who exist in the so-called red states are, we cannot overstate their importance. Because those folks are standing there with the first one of you that makes a dirty joke after I say this in the chat room, we're going to have a problem. Those people, those liberals in those so-called red states, are standing there with their finger in the dike. And they are holding back the flood and the onslaught that runs the risk of destroying our country. Oh, I think I got Agnes with that one.
I'm scarred for life.
Okay. But now the point here is that we have to pay attention and we have to support our brothers and sisters who are Democrats, who want this country to go back to what it, or go forward to what it should be. And they're carrying that fight on under hellish circumstances. And so I get this note from our friend Quincy in Central Texas, And Quincy says, I listened yesterday about your about the last part of the show, and you talked to one of your guests about most of us having some conservative, not Republican, beliefs. And I want to thank you for saying that. For even though I always voted for Democrats and would never, ever vote for a Republican, I have always considered myself conservative as well as a liberal. I consider myself conservative in a way because if you think of the meaning of the root word conserve, it's the word in which, if you think about it, the word means conserve, care, or be careful, not stingy or selfish. A real conservative cares about and values family and would want our children to have a better world to live in after we're gone. A real conservative cares about our environment. Who wants to breathe dirty air or drink tainted water? A real conservative cares about balancing our budgets and values our money and assets and not waste them and throw money away and stay in debt, for wasting debt is not a conservative value. A real conservative is not stingy, selfish, or a hypocrite and cares about other people. For I consider myself a Christian person and try to live and practice my religion by helping my neighbors or strangers that are truly in need and not displaying it as an ornament or decoration to brag about like a lot of these folks on TV do daily. For I was pretty distressed when the hurricanes hit the Gulf last year and see up to this day how our own people are treated and think about the babies and children and elderly and sick that these people passed over and let die on their watch. These folks to me are not conservatives or Christians, but they're hypocrites and are not right-to-lifers, for they do not care about the living. I don't mind telling them that they're hypocrites, and that's why I will not call a Republican a conservative, for they are not. I listened today where you were talking to the caller about the middle class being done away with, and I want to add to this, which I don't hear about enough, which is if they destroy the middle class and our economy, what's the rich going to do? If they destroy this economy, that means our dollar will be worthless, which means the rich won't really be rich anymore, and they can't pack up and go to another country, for some of the other countries are so mad at us, they would not want them to come there anyway, and if they destroy the middle class, they cut off their income and make their investment worthless. For if we all can't afford to buy a big house, go to a fancy restaurant or a luxury SUV, how are they going to make money to stay in business? For we are the ones that are making them rich in the first place. That's our friend Quincy in Central Texas, who also notes, I'm delighted to hear our friend Guy James today. We all are delighted to hear Guy back. Every voice that we add to this fight is one more chance we have of saving this nation. This nation that we don't stand at a crossroads. We've already been to the crossroads, and George Bush went down to the crossroads, and George Bush made his deal with the devil. The only problem was the nature of the deal was such that he didn't have to pay a price to the devil. We get to pay it for him, because that's the way it is when you're a Bush. When you're a Bush, you never pay your own price. When you're a Bush, you never carry your own weight. When you're a Bush, you never cover your own checks. No. When you're a Bush, there's always someone there to pay everything for you. Whether it's the American people and not just you and me. You know, it's bad now, but there will come a time, and it will be that time when little children themselves spit on the ground at the mention of the name Bush, and babies in the womb kick their mother's insides just to hear the word. That day is coming. And in that day, people will look back and say, well, you know, back when he was actually in office, it wasn't so bad. That's where we're going, you see. But George Bush made his deal with the devil, and we are the ones who get to pay it, just like the bin Ladens got to pay to bail him out of Arbusto Energy. Yeah, really, not kidding. The bin Laden family did. It's documented. It, just like it's documented that the bin Laden family were investment buddies with George Herbert Bush in the Carlyle Group until it got to be public knowledge and the bin Ladens were forced to sell out. Wonder who bought the bin Ladens Carlyle Group assets. Wouldn't you just love to know? I bet you already do, don't you? Sure you do. And so, thank you so much, Quincy, for your thoughts. Thank you, you know, thank you for being there, and thank you for the fight that you carry. And thank you, Chris in Alabama, and David in Tennessee, and David in South Carolina. Thank you to all of you in the red states. Thank you to those of you in the blue states. Thank you to Rick and Mike and Peter in Florida. I mean, people try to call West Virginia a red state. It's not. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Not the kind of craziness that you guys are holding out against and fighting against and standing up in principled defense against. Now, you haven't heard all of Dear Leader today. You haven't heard it. Well, okay. This is his response. This is Dear Leader's response to the question about Russ Feingold's censure resolution.
There has been now three sponsors to a measure to censure you for the implementation of that program. The primary sponsor, Russ Feingold, has suggested that impeachment is not out of the question, and over on Sunday, the number two Democrat in the Senate refused to rule that out pending an investigation. What, sir, do you think the impact of a discussion of impeachment and censure does to you and this office and to the nation during a time of war and in the context of the election?
I think during these difficult times, and they are difficult when we're at war, the American people expect there to be a honest and open debate without needless partisanship. And that's how I view it. I did notice that nobody from the Democrat Party has actually stood up and called for getting rid of the terrorist surveillance program. You know, if that's what they believe, if people in the party believe that, then they ought to stand up and say it. They ought to stand up and say the tools we're using to protect the American people shouldn't be used. They ought to take their message to the people and say, vote for me. I promise we're not going to have a terrorist surveillance program. That's what they ought to be doing.
He's so proud.
That's part of what is an open and honest debate. I did notice that at one point in time they didn't think the Patriot Act ought to be reauthorized. They being at least the minority leader in the Senate, he openly said, as I understand, I don't want to misquote him, something along the lines that we killed the Patriot Act. Now, if that's what the party believes, they ought to go around the country saying we shouldn't have to give the people on the front line of protecting us the tools necessary to do so. That's a debate I think the country ought to have.
But, sir, nobody asked you any questions about Harry Reid. We all know he's a weenie. Sir, the question that was asked was about Russ Feingold and the fact that given the opportunity, Russ Feingold would be coming for you. And no, see, we're smart. We understand the setting up of a damn straw man when we hear one. We're done with that crap, George. We're not going to play by your rules or your game anymore. You and your filthy, bloody, ugly, hateful, murderous crony pals don't get to set the terms of the debate ever again. This isn't a debate about whether or not America should have a terrorist surveillance program. Bug spray. You don't. George Bush, I sit here and I tell you now, you, by God, don't have a terrorist surveillance program. Because if you had a terrorist surveillance program, you'd have a few rounded up, wouldn't you? But they don't have any terrorists rounded up. They're not going to have any terrorists rounded up because between, it's just us, here under the rose, the white rose. There's a whole lot less terrorists than what these jerks would have you believe. And it's not because we fought them over there so we wouldn't have to fight them here. No, there weren't that many to begin with. There weren't that many to begin with. If there was a real terrorist threat to the United States, given the level of competency that we have in the Bush administration, little backpack bombs would be going off at Walmart all over the country. And shopping malls and car lots and grocery stores. And that's not going on because they're
keeping us safe.
My God, did you catch the story that broke over the weekend that nobody was supposed to notice? The bomb screeners in the airport are just, they miss as many as they catch. Now, George Bush doesn't get to define the terms of this debate anymore. Our eyes are open, the scales are off of our eyes, and we refuse to participate in that kind of crap. We are not, by God, John Kerry. The question we must have answered is, George Bush, why do you want to spy on Americans without a warrant? Okay? That's the question I want answered. And the sad thing is, whether it was Helen Thomas or this person, maybe Jim Bitterman or whatever, nobody is able to put him on the spot. Because he'll show blatant disrespect for one of his elders in the form of Helen Thomas and just run right over and look daggers at her and just wish she would die in her chair. George Bush needs to be standing in the dock in The Hague being cross-examined by the meanest prosecutor on planet Earth. Sir, is it not true that in March of 2001 you discussed attacking Iraq with your cabinet? Sir, is it not true that you stated that you knew he had weapons of mass destruction? Sir, is it not true that you stated that you knew that Saddam Hussein had poison gas? Is it not true that you stated that you knew that he had a nuclear weapons program? And yet, George Bush, is it not true that in February of 2001, your Secretary of State, Colin Powell, said, and I quote, here it is. Hear him say it himself. February 2001, Colin Powell.
He has not developed any significant capability with respect to weapons of mass destruction. He is unable to project conventional power against his neighbors.
And what about kinda sleazy Rice in July of 2001?
We are able to keep arms from him. His military forces have not been rebuilt.
George Bush, is it not true that you, sir, are a war criminal? Is it not true, sir, that you have violated every tenet that the United States demanded be enacted into international law following the Nuremberg War Crimes Tribunal, sir? George Bush, you are a mass murderer, aren't you, sir? George Bush, little children have been splattered all over the walls of their mud huts because of the actions of your bloody hand, have they not, sir? He needs to be cross-examined in a trial. We don't need timid little reporters begging him for crumbs from his table. Oh, sir, won't you talk to us, please? Speak fiercely and be our strong leader. No. No. And it's not a kerfuffle. It's not any of that. It is a crime against you and a crime against me and a crime against nature and a crime against humanity and a crime against the universe. What this man does. We don't need to have a debate over whether or not we're going to have a terrorist surveillance program. Horse feathers. We need to have a debate over whether or not that document, over 200 years old, that has served us so well for so long, is going to die right here and right now on our watch. Will it? We simply don't know. But we do know that perhaps we're willing to be part of the fight. That if anything in this secular society is worth saving, it is worth defending the Constitution. For in defending the Constitution, we are defending not only our lives, but the lives of our posterity. And standing up for some pretty brilliant, heroic, marvelous individuals in our past, from George Washington to Thomas Jefferson to Franklin to Adams to Lincoln to Eugene Debs to Mother Jones to John L. Lewis to everyone who has ever in some way or another decided that this was a place worth building and growing and fighting for and fulfilling its potential and its dreams. Let's do that. Thank you, all of you, however you participated. Thanks for making the... Man, you fired the phones up tonight. Good job. Thanks for the wonderful conversation. Thanks to my lovely wife, Agnes, who produced the show tonight. Brian Reznor announces. Our engineer is Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch. WhiteRoseSociety.org, the hardest working man in liberal talk, maintains the stream of this program and the archives to which you listen, as well as the archives of many, many other wonderful liberal talk programs. He's got a fundraising drive going on. Do the right thing. Do the right thing by our good friend Joe Vecchio at cupofjoe.blogspot.com. It's a matter of supporting the fight. And, of course, the show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American